the Cognitive Rampage podcast. I'm your host, Adam Lowry. We are just now posting this podcast that we released on YouTube and social media, etc. This weekend. It was Saturday. But this is a podcast with my friend Ronye Hawkins. We hadn't seen each other in a while, but I do remember in our past, him and I have been able to hold conversations about some pretty touchy topics like race and culture, etc. So we got together to do so, and we hold a 2-hour and 20-minute conversation, and we go all over the place, right? We don't stay focused on a lot of specific topics, but we come back, and please try to remember that the devil's advocate is played by both of us here in our conversations. We agreed that if someone made a point that seemed to support someone else's view, be that a view on social media or just a smaller view or bigger view, that the other one would play the devil's advocate at the end of the point. So we do that a few times back and forth. There was so much we missed that we didn't get to talk about. You know, I experienced some things in my high school and middle school era. One of the favorite words I was called a lot was wigger. And that's true. Let that echo. And Ronye faced the opposite. He was facing the Uncle Tom accusation for talking white, etc. at the time. So we both came from different styles of backgrounds, but we talk about the ideas of nationalism versus globalization. We try to stay away from the religious part of it and focus just on culture itself, whether it's blending cultures, separating cultures. I mean, it gets pretty racial. So, you know, if you're sensitive, just letting you know. You know, we even talk about interracial dating. It gets open, you know, but we talk about some things. So try not to break anything or send anything too mean to us on comments. Try to remember that we're just trying to hold a conversation, because at least with the conversations, we can talk about the realities of what exists and how divided this country is. And we asked a few people, if you're listening to this podcast, to maybe find a post. And we posed the question to each other, how or what percentage of this country do you think is racist? And we meant that to include not just white and black, but racist versus other cultures in between, too. So if you do post, what percentage of this country as a whole do you think is racist, whether knowingly, forcefully, or even subconsciously? We'd like to see what you think. We both provide our percentages on the podcast, but we touched some sensitive topics, but it was strong and needed to be. But I hope we can share and learn some things from each other. But this is my friend, Ronye Hawkins.
Peace, man. What's going on?
What's going on with you, man?
Chilling, man.
Welcome to the Cognitive Rampage. If you got the post on social media or tuning in live from YouTube or anywhere else, I know we normally don't broadcast on a Saturday or Sunday, which we normally don't. Ronye and I we used to hang out all the time and talk for a while, and we both got really busy. You know, Paint with Words is something he founded and created that's taken him a lot of his time and effort. And myself, as you know, if you're listening to the podcast, the book will be out in about 2 weeks or a little less, but we're aiming for March 25th. But anyway, we got to reconnect, finally found some free time randomly and a short notice. So, you know, Saturday is as fast as I could get you in here, brother, so we could chat. And you always find yourself in interesting conversations all over wherever you're at. You know, I mean, heck, you're a lot like me, to where if you're eating dinner somewhere or lunch somewhere, hell, just getting gas, right? You just...
Absolutely. Or it could be an aisle 5.
It could be
in the grocery store, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I was contemplating if I wanted Frosted Flakes or if I wanted Captain Crunch. I don't know, you know what I mean? But it just happens, you know what I mean?
And then turn it into a fucking political debate. Remember when you're talking in the mic, it's the singing mic would be up here. Listen to my voice. Check this out. This is if I talk into it like this. See how it switches?
Oh, okay. I got you. Oh, I like that.
Not big love to it, baby.
Yeah.
I can't.
That's
I
what
can't.
I'm talking about. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
But we do, you know, and we've had so many talks. If people actually wanted to tune in, actually on YouTube, the first episode, if you will, to the reformation of the Cognitive Rampage almost a year and change ago down in Naples, the first episode was you and Steve Stone actually had randomly come down to film your show, your video, and interview for Paint with Words.
Right. Correct.
And then Cognitive Rampage was born from that. But you guys were that first episode. It's titled The Conversation. So if you go on YouTube and look back, just find the video that says The Conversation. And we were sitting there, and we covered some things, but
right.
I think we stayed more spiritual, God type, you know, talking in that realm, which, shit, you and I and Steve have done for a long time. But
for hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hours on end, you know, and still going. So.
It's true. And you and I have had some pretty candid conversation on about race, culture, and race, et cetera.
Yes.
And that's why I was like, you know what, dude? It's, you know, it's in social media, you know, it's always pulled up in every ounce. I mean, it's finally being, I don't want to say it's finally being talked about, because of course it's been talked about forever.
Of course.
But probably with social media, it seems like it's a lot louder now, you know, like you can, you really are more, becoming more aware, like people are becoming more aware about it.
Right. Absolutely. I feel personally, man, you know, we can take a topic like the Oscars. Let's just go there. You know, because
okay, right off the rip,
okay. You know, the Oscars, you know, and because of what Jada Pinkett Smith did in regards of her husband Will Smith, you know, for getting the snub from his leading role in the concussion, it's just started into this whole snowstorm, basically. And what most people are not aware of is this: there's always been undertones of racism. Let's just put it off. Let's put it out there right now. For those who are aware of what's been going on, this is nothing new. Yes, it happened in 2015, but we're talking about over 50 years or more of these undertones of racism that has been taking place. And of course, I can get the vibe of everybody's going to have their own opinion on things, but let's just be real here for a second, yeah, okay? Yeah. Not one time, but this is the second year that the Oscar Academy has not nominated an African-American actor or an actress within the leading role or in a supporting role, period, mm-hmm. Okay? We can even date back, because I've been doing this for over, and you know me, when I first got started, when we first met together, I was already doing art and entertainment. I was already aware of what was going on. We're talking like over 20-something years ago, probably.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and with that, I can even go back to some of my mentors, I would say. Actors like Denzel Washington, okay? He's one of my favorites. Morgan Freeman, it's another one of my favorites. I mean, these guys are putting out countless and countless films. They do magnificent in what they do. Whatever their energy is into that particular role within that film, they're going to give it their all. And then somehow, if you want to base it on politics, if you want to base it on a president's decision or whatever, then hey, that's you. But I had a feeling back in 1992 when Denzel did Malcolm X.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one of my favorite films, I must say. And coming from Spike Lee, who happens to be one of my favorite African-American directors as well, yeah, you know, because they were actually wanting to put out their own story. And that's what it's about, putting out your own story and how it's accurately being told. But, you know, he got snubbed for that. Angela Bassett got snubbed for Tina Turner biopic. You know, there's so many. And I will say this. My heart goes out to Michael B. Jordan, because he did an amazing job with Creed, you know, which Sylvester Stallone was tagged into the film.
Yeah, yeah.
The director was Ryan Coogler. Ryan Coogler actually got awarded the New Generations Award out in Hollywood from the Film Critics Association.
Yeah, I haven't seen Creed yet. I saw some things come back on it.
Creed is awesome, man. I've heard both. Really great work.
Yeah, I heard both. I heard it was good, and you know, but everybody's going to compare it to the, you know, their heart loves Rocky 1, Rocky 4. You know, that's what everything's going to be compared to. So,
of course,
I mean, they were brave enough to even try to, you know, add to that, you know, that whole dynasty of films, if you will. You know what I mean? That's brave to even try to take that on.
Exactly. You know, and yes, it is the topic now, because Ryan Coogler has talked about it, you know, implementing diversity within Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know, they talked about it from Spike Lee. Can't think of the gentleman's name now. Alejandro who was the director for The Revenant with Leonardo DiCaprio. He was talking about diversity within Hollywood. We've been talking about this again for over 50 something years, you know. And
You dropped a lot, dog. You dropped a lot, man.
I'm sorry.
And no, you did. It's good stuff, man, because you put a lot of ideas up. And
right.
There's two points that I'll probably hit, but for one, the main argument that I've heard about the reason, there's two main arguments, right, that come across of why this happens, as opposed to not it being racism per se. Mm-hmm. The first argument is the idea that the size of the of minority populations just aren't large enough to bring in the amounts of money to the theater, et cetera. And that, you know, if you looked at the size of the population, right, white versus black, et cetera, that it's much smaller. So therefore, Hollywood doesn't go that way, or voters, et cetera, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't even want to say the director's name, very famous, huge name in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be wrong. I'd be guessing if I said his name. But white director, you know, I'm talking that guy, you know. I just his name's too big for me to screw up if it isn't.
Right.
But what he said is like, look, if I could book a nobody, somebody that no one knows, you know, that could come into a film that has $300 million put into it, and right. I know I could get my, you know, my money back out and make a film, because problem is, nobody comes out to see a film with a nobody in it, et cetera, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was answering for a couple films. Now, I'm not sure if these films are directly rated to this director, right? Mm-hmm. One of them was this coming out of Egypt, Gods versus whatever, right?
Gods of Egypt.
Okay, yeah. I watched that film. And I got to be honest, man. What the fuck do they got these two guys playing Egyptians and shit for? I can't front, dude. They don't fit. I'm watching, like, I know this dude's a Brooklyn-born, Boston-type dude, you know what I mean? And I'm
exactly.
like, and he's trying to be Pharaoh or whatever, and Ramses mm-hmm. and shit. And I'm right. just like, I'm not buying it. What the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
And it's like I'm supposed to accept this carnival movie, you mm-hmm. know, because it's got amazing graphics where it tells a story, et cetera, right?
Right.
But I couldn't get past this fake bald, this colored thick eyebrows and shit, and I'm going like, what the hell is happening? And so the main two arguments you hear for that is it doesn't sell tickets, it doesn't bring in the people, the populations aren't big enough that are going to come out and spend the money, etc. And that's why they would argue that it's not that it's racism, it's that it's the population size and the money versus what, you know, how much money can each, you know, culture bring out,
right?
That's what I hear the most,
you know. I'm laughing because, again, if you really have your spiritual lenses on, my answer to that would be it's not historically accurate, okay?
Hmm.
And what do I mean when I say historically accurate?
I don't know. Tom Cruise played The Last Samurai and fucking...
Right.
With John Wayne played, Genghis Khan?
Yeah.
Like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah.
Here's the thing, and I've had these conversations with friends of mine that are in L.A. now. They moved out there many years ago. And over here in, you know, the Florida area as well, too. The biggest issue is that... And this is my personal opinion. However y'all want to take it, fine. I really don't give two ham sandwiches instead of fries. Whatever. Here's my point. It's not historically accurate, meaning that we've always been here. We, meaning black people, Moors, okay, Africans, we've been here. Now, tell me something. Now, if you go into the pyramids, right, and I've had people to go and visit them themselves. You can look on the walls of the pyramids, and in hieroglyphics, there are people who are of color. Okay, they are sand type. Okay, and even sand has a certain skin tone to it.
Are you kind of alluding to be say something racist here, man? It's fucked up, dog. So the black man is the first one to drop something racist. Exactly. Oh, wait, no, is it because the white man was thinking about the joke behind it? That probably makes me more racist.
Yeah. Exactly. It could be going both ways, but I'm just saying, again, historically accurate-wise, that let me give you a little historical reference on top of that. Before Egypt was named Egypt, there was another name for it, meaning Kemet. And Kemet meaning chemistry.
Oh, shit.
For sure.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're treading in water that I have no idea, bro. So you're on your own out here.
Kemet basically is short term for chemistry, you know. And that's where a lot of the things that we as human beings, and it doesn't matter what culture or color you come from, a lot of the things that we are using now came from Egypt. It came from Kemet. It came from Africa. Archaeologists have even said that the first bones of the original man, the indigenous people, came from Africa.
Yeah, Ethiopia, right?
Ethiopia itself. Seen as well. Some of that, yeah. So it's a lot of historically accurate references that are there. Now, with Hollywood, and I'm going back to Hollywood.
Holy shit, man. Egypt and the Tuts to Hollywood. Whew.
Yes.
That means we got a lot of filler.
A lot of filler has been happening, and I will say that a lot of manipulation has happened throughout the years as well. Some of my friends would even say it's whitewash. We even go that far to say that as well, too.
Yeah.
I'm just being very candid and very straightforward with you guys.
Hell, the joke I made the other day when I talked about red tape, that reference when my brother was speaking to for the Native Economic Council, right?
Right.
He had some senators and things in front of him. And I was helping him write his speech and prep it, you know, a day or two ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people talk about, you know, how difficult it is to work with the government, et cetera.
Right.
In business, you know, that kind of stuff. And he was speaking for the Native Economic Conference for that board. And at the end of his speech, it was, you know, rather than call it red tape, we like to call it white tape.
Right.
And I was like, oh, shit, he dropped it. I was like, man, those senators kind of had that look where they just smile like, shit, they don't know how to react to that. Do they laugh? Do they smile?
Yeah.
Right. Of course, they were white senators.
Like a deer in headlights, basically. You had that moment. You know, be like, oh, I don't know what to do. Like, hey, I'm going to just smile and not do this. I was like, yeah.
That's him. Yeah. Go ahead, man.
But I was telling my buddies this, man. I said, listen, go back and look in the last 5 years to what Hollywood has been cranking out. That's why there is a huge revolution in independent filmmaking right now, okay? Because just this past week, I was on my way to work, and I'm listening to 104.1, and they were talking about how, before I lose my train of thought, what they were talking about was dealing with Hollywood, how Hollywood was cranking out these movies that are reboots. You got another Predator movie that's coming out really soon. You know what I mean? And I'm like, are you serious?
Should have never made a second. Just leave the original with Arnold.
That's my point. They're taking,
I'm biased,
cult classics, and they are rebooting them over and over again. You know, that's why you have another Rocky franchise. Now you have Deadpool.
Yeah.
With their franchise and things like that. But I'm like, seriously, leave the cult classics alone, and you guys know that there are tons of other stories that need to be told.
You know, it's one I'm surprised that is not redone.
What's
which,
that?
You know what, Dan? It'll probably be so controversial, too, because it's a cult classic in white America, is The Breakfast Club. Right?
Ooh.
You're talking a cult classic. I mean, I love that movie. It comes on, I'm going to watch it, right?
Of course.
But look at the crowd there. Look at the high school.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking a mid-80s flick now.
Right.
Or was it maybe a little younger? I don't know. I'd have to research it. But the point being is you're looking at white athlete, white, smart, good girl, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone's sitting there.
Right.
Not a Latino, not a black person, not an Asian even, nothing.
Right, absolutely.
You know, so you want to talk about how old and how young. I mean, look how fucking, that's a cult classic movie we all watch and show, and then if you really look at it, you're going, well, that's not a high school today. Are you fucking crazy, man?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't then.
Right.
You know, it wasn't then either.
Absolutely. And you know what? Again, there are certain films that you and I would say, you know what, that shouldn't have been touched at all. You know what I mean? And just leave it for what it is. But it seems as if they are running out of ideas.
Well, look what the X-Men shit did. And then the Black Stormtrooper.
Right.
I mean, you put a Black Stormtrooper in there, he's wearing fucking mostly a white damn outfit, and that's still, you know.
This is how crazy it's gotten here in America. Okay. Before Star Wars came out, The Force Awakens, and I was reading a lot of the footage, I was reading a lot of the articles on Facebook and in social media, and how they were talking about, okay, because now you have, I say this proudly, a brother who is an African-American who is in the lead role in this franchise, which is freaking phenomenal, okay? They wanted to boycott the film because the brother was in there. Mm-hmm. But you didn't do this with the other five series, now did you?
Mm-mm.
No, not at all. So this shows you the ignorance level of America itself, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And the people within it. And
it speaks to the scary part would be then, if this is the reflection we're seeing, right, as mm-hmm. the response to changing one role, right, one role by race.
Correct.
If doing something like that, whether you're for or against it, right? I mean, in some situations, it would be hard to be like, well, it can't be a black guy, right? You can't replace Apollo Creed, right, with, like, the other guy.
Right.
You know, so the same idea would be at some cases, like we just joked about, the Egyptian god, the, you know, Ramses, like, come on, it's a Brooklyn, Boston guy, right? Or yeah. Australian or whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so there's parts to where you just can't. But if what's scary, though, is what you see if Hollywood is kicking out and has been, obviously, since The Breakfast Club and further back with, you know, like we've referenced John Wayne and mm-hmm. Genghis Khan.
Right.
Well, if that's the majority that's spending the money on movies and the majority of us go to movies.
Right.
What's that say to the majority of the view of race in the country, possibly?
Mm.
I mean, could it be a larger majority that... You know, that could it be a larger majority that may not be racism, right, but prefers separatism?
Mm.
I mean, does that speak to it? If Hollywood's make, if these big directors and producers go, look, I'm making films based on who's spending the dough.
Right.
And if I'm spending $300 million, I got to get the money back. So if these are the films being kicked out and Will Smith and Jada, these people see it and feel this is not okay.
Right.
If that's what's happening, then that would say, right, the majority then is spending money on the movies that prefer the white guy playing Ramses. You know what I mean? They prefer right. Tom Cruise playing The Last Samurai, you know? And so could it be an undercover more? I mean, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. It's more, again, I keep stressing the fact of there is an undertone to the situation within every film process. It's almost like, okay, we can look at Gerard Butler as a cash cow. We can look at Tom Cruise as a cash cow. We can look at, who else is out there? Leonardo DiCaprio as a cash cow, because yeah. they know that these guys are going to bring people into the seats
yeah.
at the theater. But yeah, it's probably all well and good. But what's lacking right now is the script itself and the vision within that script. That's what's lacking. That's why you have people like Alejandro, who was a director of The Revenant, you know, and it's an amazing movie, by the way. I've seen it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, don't say nothing. No spoiler. I haven't seen it yet, bro. Okay. I'm waiting.
I'm not going to say nothing.
I'm
going to keep yeah. it. I'm going to lock it in. It's all good. I got you.
I like to catch those movies when it's like a Tuesday afternoon and no one's going.
Yes.
And you jump in like an 11 o'clock matinee, right? And it's like you and some weirdo in the corner that you got to keep an eye on.
Right.
But it's just you, you know, and you can really soak in a movie. So that's kind of what I'm waiting on.
Absolutely. Nothing wrong with that. Hey, sometimes I do that myself.
No shit.
I'm
yeah.
like, hey, okay, I got this to myself. I got that house to myself. I love yeah. this. It's awesome. Yeah, man. But, I mean, directors are artists.
Yeah, for sure.
Scriptwriters are artists.
You said it was lacking. What's lacking? The, like, black directors, minority writers, is that what's lacking? Or
I'll tell you what.
Well, you said there was a creativity missing in those scripts, you know, of something to write in something, either something new that's right. not repetitive. Hell, I guess if you're repeating art, you would expect it to be somewhat racist, right? If it goes back even as early as to The Breakfast Club.
Right.
You know, and The Last Samurai, I don't know, it's kind of, I mean, the story, there's a reason why, but right. to call and to think of him as The Last Samurai is still kind of just weird.
Yeah, but to me, it does a whole lot, too. And again, I think it's, to me, it's an injustice, you know, when you're not creating something to where it's affecting society, it's affecting people and calling them for change and for growth. Because we all know that as an artist, how are you going to grow if you stay in one position?
Yeah.
Okay. If you are just stagnant and you're just saying, I'm going to write the same script over and over again because I know that this is a money maker. Yeah. Right? But then you're not challenging yourself. Erykah Badu said this on Soul Train. She said, we have to write our own story. That means that there must be a revolution within our own structure. Now I'm talking about my people now. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because I feel as if, well, we're not going to depend on Hollywood. You're an independent artist. You are independent. That's the key word. Independent. So when you are independent, that means that everything that you do, that vision must be carried out and executed by you accurately. The funding must be executed accurately. And having a group of individuals that are going to support your vision. That's the main thing. But most importantly, you're telling a story that has never been told. And that's what attracts this society and people to come into those seats and say, you know what? That looks amazing. I want to go check that out.
So you'd say it. There's a lack of actual black writers writing their story and telling it their way.
Correct.
You know what I heard when you were even referenced, you know, it seems like, all right, I'm connected. See if I can, you can draw the bridge here.
Okay.
Somewhere. I don't have all the variables here. Maybe you help me fill it.
Okay.
Hollywood was, you know, they're making the films based on who, but they're not getting creative. They're rewriting the same stuff based in to pull the money. Well, it seems like they're making making creations, essentially make the creation to make the money, you know, rather than make the creation to make the creation, make the movie to tell the story.
Correct.
It becomes, let's make something we know will make money. Mm-hmm. And do that. And I see that same response in music, to where you can see where cultures will blend and, you know, move their culture away from or into other cultures, like whatever that era was when hip hop crossed over into white suburbia.
Right.
You know, you see it crossing. And are they liquidating their own culture by crossing over, you know, by multiculturalism, if you will, or does that enhance or liquidate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all right, where am I? So they're making movies, they're putting it out, you know. All right, so it seems like you're really putting to the question or to the statement that there are a lack of minorities across telling their story efficiently or authentically, mm-hmm. rather than just trying to enter some industry of success to right. accomplish or for fame or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow, man, I could probably connect that, because this is why you see the... you see artists that, what, do they sell out, right? They
Correct.
move. You could take it from music to film to whatever. We call it selling out, right, when you start making the pop record or whatnot.
Right.
Or not. I don't know. You know, generations change or are changing. So, damn. All right. That's a lot of good points. All right. It's, yeah.
Yeah. I think what it is that we can even talk about music because, you know, you and I both love music. I believe that a lot of artists, they need to change their mindset. And when you start to lose focus of the consciousness within your material, that's when you start to, as you said, liquidate yourself, because you're saying to yourself, well, you know, I'm doing this for the money. I'm doing this for the money. I'm doing this for the money.
When they call it tapping into other markets, right? Isn't that what they call it?
Right, right. And I think also that if you start to lose yourself, lose your essence, and lose your purpose on why you did it in the first place, the love of art and the love of really seeing people's lives change through the power of art, because now you done sold that, as James Brown would said, for chicken change.
Yeah.
That's what you did. So you're saying to yourself, just like what Hollywood is doing, they're going to keep making these same replica mass-produced films and thinking that, you know, oh, this is all well and good because guess what? Look at our numbers.
Yeah, right, you know? Right. Well, yeah, it is the numbers. Keep going.
It's all about the numbers, right? So if it's about the numbers, that lets me know that you're not sparking change. You're not even trying to spark another child to saying that I can do this, or you know what? That's a really cool movie. I want to look up to this person. You know, I see this person as a mentor.
It's like the death of creativity.
It's the death of it, pretty much. And for me, coming into it now and what I just went through with my 6-month process of putting together my video project, being able to write the script and direct it when I had no support, no budget, created my own budget from scratch, had five individuals that were rolling with me, all my friends between 10 to 20 years they've known me in these relationships, and say, you know what, Ronye, off the strength of your script, we love what you're doing. We don't even care if we get paid for it. We just want to see it come into fruition.
Yeah. The creation. Yeah.
Creation of it. And again, that should be the core of the artist. You should change your mindset to say, you know what? I'm not even going to worry about the money. I know the money's going to come anyway. Stay focused on the script. Stay focused on the lyrics. The content is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Because that's the reason why you have film audiences, music audiences to come to see this particular artist, because they love what they're doing, but most importantly, they can relate to what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's the main thing, you know, and I feel that for African-Americans, people of color, they really need to tell their own story. And when I say that, I don't mean just repeating the same slavery story either, because I'm tired of that. I don't want to look at it. I had no interest in looking at 12 Years a Slave. I had no interest in looking at The Butler or anything else. Not even Empire. And I know some of y'all out there probably like, why not, Ronnie? Why not The Butler? Or why not Empire? Because look, Empire is one of the biggest, number one network syndicated shows right now.
I haven't seen it.
Or close to becoming syndicated.
Yeah, okay? I haven't seen it at all.
But let me give you the synopsis. The synopsis of Empire is about...
I've seen like a commercial in the Super Bowl. I've seen that far. You know, I got a couple.
So you have Terrence Howard, Taraji P. Henson.
They're in everything.
They're in everything pretty much. You know, they are A-list actors, right?
It's the black rotation, isn't it?
Pretty much.
The Tyler Perry rotation? Or, I mean, where did it start with?
You have Lee Daniels now. There's Tyler Perry, you know. And I'm not knocking them.
They've done amazing actors.
You know, but as far as Terrence Howard and Taraji P. Henson, they are amazing actors, yes. But the synopsis of the TV series is what I have an issue with, because now you're talking about, okay, you have this guy, husband and wife, or husband and ex-husband or ex-wife, whatever. Mm-hmm. The ex-wife takes the bullet, as I would say, metaphorically, the bullet for the husband because he started a drug ring, okay, made his money through the drug trafficking circuit. From there, that's how he was able to fund a record label.
So
right.
The story it's telling is pretty much been told a million times by 6,000 rap records from 1978 to now.
Correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But my issue is with network and with America and with Hollywood is that we're tired of seeing the same imperative. It's redundant.
Yeah.
And it's negative. Well, imagery.
Does that speak to just how stupid a lot of people are in America that they just want to come home and watch their Simpsons? And no shout out to the Simpsons, I like it.
Right, right.
But I haven't seen it in, you know, forever. But, you know, that it's an example. You know, do they just want to come home and numb themselves out to stay in the game? And I'm going to jump two steps back to drop the question in there.
Okay.
Well, I mentioned the rotation of African-American actors, right? And
right.
You see them. It's the rotate. I don't know their names either.
Yeah.
And I know, what's that movie, man? I'll get it. Hold on. Homegirl had to get over her breakup and come on. Something about breathing again. Waiting to exhale.
Waiting to exhale.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. There's, Whitney Houston, Angela Bassett.
See?
All of them. Yeah.
There's a little stretch of movies that came out at that time. It was like the same dudes that you saw rotating as the black guy that was just the all-around dude, right?
Right, right.
Basically, they're Brad Pitt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so couldn't you say that really on both sides, on black side and white side, really, it's really just the same rotation. It's the same white guys. It's the same black guys. It's the same Asian guys.
Mm.
And it seems like really that, I don't know, like you're not allowed to get in the group. You know what I mean? Like you got to go do a special on the show on a comedy or something for an hour or two. You got to.
Right.
You know, it's like you're not allowed in this little group or something.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right.
And for all cultures.
For all cultures all the way around. And I think.
Is it that way in indie flicks? Do you know? Like, cause
no, actually it is not. You have unknown actors. No one's ever seen them before. You know, But they put out an amazing film because they're telling the story. Strong acting.
Well, shit, did you see the guy we had on yesterday, Ronnie Graham?
Yes.
Dude, did you? He's got a 4-minute trailer out of his, a 2-minute trailer that's on our website at adamlowry.com. You can find it, The Curse of War.
Okay.
He wrote it, directed it, wrote it and starred in it, and plays a African-American soldier coming home from Iraq with severe PTSD. It's the day in the life of that. And man, some of his performances are just hardcore, man. Mm-hmm. It's not a light film. You know what I mean? It ends like, what the fuck? Yeah, and so I think exactly. Ronnie's a great example of someone trying to tell their story, you know, the way they see it, or tell stories of that culture being affected
Absolutely.
The same.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. I'm glad you mentioned about him, because he's telling a story, and that story is real. Someone suffered through this situation. You know, your brother, your cousin, whoever, my brother, my cousin, whoever, they went through those same struggles. Now, the thing is that I want to jump over to this. Even Marlon Brando, who is a Native American, he had an issue with Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He was gay, wasn't he?
Because, I don't know.
I think he was gay or bisexual or something, dude.
Really?
Brando, yeah. I think I said that once or twice to a couple girls that were in love with him. They're like, no.
What?
Yeah, I'll have to Google and check myself.
Okay, I have to check that. You know what?
Thank I think
you.
So.
We'll have to check that out then.
I think so.
But here's the point, though, is that he was even against Hollywood.
Yeah.
Because they had that rule of rotation, as you were mentioning. And yeah, it was in different groups, because you do see the same brothers that come in every single film. And I'm like, really, man? We're better than this. We really, really are. And you know what's funny? I was just watching TV the other day, and Queen Latifah is producing this film called, what is that thing called? The Perfect Match or something like that. And it is just like the movie The Player with Bill Bellamy. If you remember Bill Bellamy, the comedian, he's still doing the same films over and over again, same concept, same synopsis. I'm like, come on, people. Let's get out of this. It's regurgitating over and over again. It's just like, come on, man. We got so many other films, so many other stories to tell that people have never heard of before. So we need to bring it to light.
Yeah.
Within this situation, because if people are really hungry and they're looking for something different, then we as content creators, we need to make that happen now.
Well, very important. As black actors or white actors or musicians, artists, whatever, if let's just say some that are making their art to make money, to sell, right, to hopefully get the likes and the notoriety, right, to blend, right, to make it big, whatever. If a in particular race pulls from a culture or their own particular culture to make music to appeal to a culture either directly or tries to vague up their culture enough to cross it over into other cultures, or I mean, is it good for their artwork? Is it good for the community? Is it good for cultures to cross over that way? Or in a sense, could we say that if a white artist crosses over into a black dominated culture or genre, or vice versa, right? Does he liquidate his own culture from where he's coming from,
right
by assimilating more into another culture for mass popularity, right? That whitewash, as you call it, right so, you know, where it kind of is, the world just inevitably headed for globalization and assimilation of all cultures? Or do you think it's important to keep a separation of race and culture by telling the story? Is kind of what I'm saying. Should you know, the blacks continue to tell their story of their culture and whites tell theirs, et cetera, right? Because we need to be either proud of our culture, right? Do we need to keep hanging our flags up in our rear views, or, you know, tattoos of where we're from, Irish to whatever, right?
Right.
Is the idea of holding our that would be called nationalism to a point, right? Is that, you know, it's America or die, it's Ireland or die, it's Puerto Rico or die, right? And holding on to the idea of culture and nationalism to a point of nationalism, maybe not so extreme, or just to a point of holding on to one's culture. It doesn't have to be so hardcore nationalism, like fuck everybody, only Cuba, right?
Right.
But it can also be, you know, as far as to where we're just proud of the culture, represent the culture, we live this culture, whatever that may be. but still have a love or essence for the, you know, the countries or different cultures, etc. Is that good for the world or bad for the world to either A, hold on to the idea of this is my culture, let me tell you the culture of my native people, you know, the other portion of me, and also the history of this, or should we start to put down the ideas? Because really, look, we're separated by fake borders. They're not even real. You know, for the, some are mountains, et cetera, and rivers, but for the most part, they're just fake lines drawn, and we call ourselves this group and speak this language. And sure, we have different cultures, right? But is it good to hold on? Does it create more separation globally to hold on to every tight little culture that we come from? Or is it better to assimilate all those into one globalization culture? Mm. It's rough. You know what I mean? So it's I'm looking at nationalism versus globalization, essentially, is the two end spectrums. Globalizations meaning all economies, no borders, that you and I could just walk into Mexico. Mexico could walk into here. We could fly to wherever and just get off the plane and go in, right? Right. Open all borders. We don't need passports anymore. You're from Earth, essentially. Right. And they happen to speak a language over there. They happen to eat this food over there, sort of. Eventually, hell, it'll be burgers and whatever. You know, hopefully, God not. But, you know, it'll be different things. But, you know, is it important to hold on to our cultures, where we come from, or does that perpetuate nationalism to a sense in an extreme? Or do we lose our culture? Are we willing to put down things like culture that creates national separation to create globalization? That's a long fucking question. It's not even a question. We're just talking. So there's nothing to be answered, really. We're just chatting, dude. So,
you know, Marcus Garvey said it. Excuse me. And he said it. I'm just going to paraphrase it. He said, someone who does not know their history is like a tree that doesn't have roots. Okay? I think it all stems back to ourself. And I say this for my culture and then the generations that I'm looking at now that are in school and our future leaders. Question is, do we even have future leaders? Because look at what they're doing. You know, the trend that they are creating or following tells me that they don't have knowledge of self. They don't know who they really are. If you don't know who you really are, then that means you have no sense of direction at all.
Or does that keep you anchored? Just to throw that in there. Keep going.
I think for me, and I use myself as an example, I'm very proud of my culture. I'm very proud of who I am and where I come from. Now, does that make me better than you? No, it doesn't. I think there should be a level of respect across the board. I think what's happening is that there is no line of respect anymore. It's all been wiped off because of politics, because of another culture. Well, said,
I would say the lines have been drawn more thinner or thicker, right? They're now dividing us. They're basically saying, here's a line. Are you in this box? You in this box? Hell, they say check a box, right?
Right, right. I think for one, for the community to really come together, and for me, you know, I think I love everybody across the board. You know what I'm saying? But I put it to you like this, and pardon me, y'all, if I'm jumping from different angles, but you'll get my point because I'm going to bring it all together in a second. Now, my father said it, and we had a conversation the other day, and he said, spirits never die. Flesh does. Okay? What do I mean? I mean that for those, again, who are spiritually aware of what's going on around you, that your lenses are on. And that, yes, there is a spirit of racism. And racism is what? Something that's been conditioned within an individual, right? So if you put two kids in the same sandbox or at a playground, one could be little Jimmy. Little Jimmy's probably Asian. But then you have little Johnny, and Johnny could be white. But then you have Raheem. He's black, right? But those kids would play together in the same sandbox. They don't care about no color, right? So they're going to be like, yo, that's my buddy Johnny, or that's my buddy Jimmy. So they're going to respect each other because why? They recognize each other's spirits and they understand their heart. Okay? So it's a heart value situation that we're dealing with here. I believe that politics have separated. I believe that, I'm going to put it there, I believe that certain levels of government drew that line as well.
Well, the social constructs that would be then therefore pressed into these children as they got older, you know, the competence, the experience fed into them.
Correct.
From the cultures, you know, surrounding them, you know, may create separation, may create togetherness. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's hard for me, too, because like you, I respect my native culture input, you know, the Irish culture input, too. You Correct. Know, native is heavy, strong in mine. Mm-hmm. And even as I've grown in that, you know, I like to remember the values of it, you know, that are hyped up about it. But there's a lot of things about it that also weren't good. You know, the tribes didn't work together. They failed, right, in a lot of ways. They had a lot of good visions.
My culture as well. Same thing. Same things that happened as well, too. You know, within the black race, you know, there was some awesome stuff that did happen. Yes, we can come together because we've done it. You know, look at the Million Man March. Yeah. You know, not just one time, but twice.
Well, the natives lost their whole culture the minute they decided not to, right? But it was probably inevitable anyway over time, you know, that they would, you know, perish. But as you get older, though, you know, if you really tap into that culture, it's very easy to hate white people. It's very easy to, right? Mm-hmm. But that's also the harder influence into my culture too. So in a sense, I got to hate a portion of a culture that I am, you know, be that right. The Irish, you know, mixed side, the McLowry side, right? So you can't hate yourself. And some cultures do. Some people really battle. They hate the white side or the black side or the Latino side that are in their race. I mean, that happens.
Yeah. It is an inner struggle.
Yeah, they do. But so it's almost the deeper you attach yourself to a specific culture, even if you're only one culture.
Right.
Somewhere down the line, it's like you got to come in contact with another culture that fucking hated you and you hated them and did some terrible shit. Mm-hmm. So it was hard for me. You know, hell, I play the native flute. I'm into it, right? The sage, there's things, you know, this is how far I go, you know. There's beautiful principles. But I started to get so deep into it at times. There's parts of the culture, the social constructs that I live within now that became... I got angry at, right? You start like, oh, you can't. And then you start to go, fuck. The more I almost separate myself more, the more I focus on my culture, mm-hmm. even though I respect it and the principles, right? But then I'm kind of torn between if I keep, you get me, right?
Yes, I do.
You know, so that's why I ask, is there that fine line that exists between representing your flag or your culture, your roots, mm-hmm. and still being loving? You talked about respect, right?
Yeah.
It's having that respect. But what happens when that respect starts to infringe on people's rights, careers, like mm-hmm. movies we were discussing, music careers that we were discussing, neighbors, where you can move, where you can go to school, right. Shit, where if you go to prison, how long you go to prison.
Right.
You know, when those things start, if you get the job, let's just go on, you know. Mm-hmm. So I would, you know, I'd like to, damn, I forgot my pen. I'd write down, let's talk about affirmative action too, whether that's fair or not.
Right.
You know, should you require it? Is it okay? Right. If everyone's better, but one happens to not be as good, but happens to be black, native, Eskimo, you know, whatever, we got to hire them.
Right.
You know, I don't know if that's okay. If there's fine lines, right. Do you move the meter one way and for a while then go, okay, let's move it back. You know, who knows? I don't know.
Right.
Those are things I want to get to. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. We will. Definitely.
So crossing that culture, right. Where does, I don't know, elaborate there, man. You know, cause I find myself kind of going, I can't walk deep down that red path, as Jennifer Elizabeth Masters referred to it on the show with a connected spirit of hers, mm-hmm. is walking the red path, which I love that idea. I love that, right. You know, but let's face it, for the most part, I can't just walk barefoot out into the world with my spear and go live. I mean, I probably could somewhere, but, you know, for the most part. So if I continued that walk, who knows? You know what I mean? You find a hatred toward culture somewhere. You know?
Yeah, you do. I would say, I'm going to give you another example. My mother was a hardcore follower of the Panthers. And when I say Panthers, I mean Black Panther Party, basically. Mm-hmm. And yeah, my mom was pro-black. I mean, we had these conversations all the time. I mean, I started learning about my culture in the fourth and fifth grade, through my parents, my mom, my grandmother, my elders, things like that, because it was, again, it was a representation of, oh, someone looks just like me, and they did all this stuff. Oh, that's amazing. And then they started talking about how certain historical black figures, what they did in history, and how they basically, as we say, changed the game. You know, someone did something really awesome in mathematics. Someone did something really like Benjamin Banneker, who created the first grandfather clock, which actually is held inside of the White House right now. You know, you have George Washington Carver, who discovered the peanut, and the peanut created over 300 products that are sitting in our stores right now. Okay, so when you see somebody who looks like you, you're like, wow, if they can do it, I can do it. So it gives you a sense of pride of who you are. Now, going back to my mother, if my mother stayed in the same state of mind of being pro-black, she followed the Panthers, she followed Stokely Carmichael, she followed Angela Davis, all these people who were revolutionists, and they made our culture and many other cultures aware about colonialization, okay, about white supremacy, you know, and all these things, you know. But soon as she got closer in her relationship with her creator, that's when her heart started to change. Because every time we talk about history, because when you go back into history, that's when you start to dig up all the anger. What has happened to black people, or to Native American indigenous people, or to
every culture but the white culture? Unless no, you could go to the Irish being oppressed by England.
Correct.
Australia, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think where some other white people were pretty oppressed. I mean, in and out of the areas of, you know, Germany at times, or not Germany, right, but but for the most part,
I get your point. I mean,
every minority,
pretty much every minority, especially someone had talked about this as well. Even the Jews will not let go of telling everybody, hey, we've been through the Holocaust.
I didn't say it. You did.
I'm just saying.
I didn't say it. You did.
I'm just putting it out there.
Hold on. So you might as well say, I can say that I'm black, because I can't say that.
But it's not even that. Well,
what
that
kind
factor
of shit is that, right? That you can technically say that, right? But I can't. It's the truth.
It's crazy. Yeah, it is the truth. Absolutely. Because if you have a group of individuals, a class, a race, or whoever, however you want to label it, if they're telling you, listen, this is what our people went through, and we're going to continue to remind you that this is what happened, then who told them that they have the right to do so? So if they're still doing it, then why not the black people?
Yeah, you know, that story's told too, yeah.
That story's being told as well too.
I think really what you're trying to say is if someone personally wants to get over something and move past it, for
it's
the most
an
part,
individual.
If you keep talking about it, right, does it stay on the forefront, right? Do we stay angry, right?
No.
So it really is that fine line, like you're saying, between knowing your roots to a point, but not having to relive those to where this hatred kind of stays, or maybe because what do they say? Racism is taught, right?
Correct.
And so as it's taught down, so by holding on, what you're trying to say is by holding on to those stories, be that the slave generations of the black people, or the ginormous history of Jewish people being prosecuted and fucking attacked,
right,
you know, that, where was I going? Man, it was too many. That we were connecting this. Hold on, I'll pull it back together. That for the most part, everybody, where I was talking about everybody being suppressed on and telling us, oh yeah, if we stay in the negative, mm-hmm. I mean, how turn on a Facebook pro or go to any Facebook feed and read it. Somewhere it says, leave the negative behind, stay in the positive world, cut your negative friends.
Right.
Well, you know, where we don't say that is our culture and history. Where we don't say that is leave your negative culture behind and start talking about it. Could we argue even the rebel flag is the same idea? Holding on to a rebel flag, although you may not believe it means racism, I'm not arguing the semantics here of whether it
Correct.
Does or doesn't stand for racism. It can go back to documents that say it does, and then research that says it doesn't, and beliefs where it can change. It's an object.
Right.
So
right.
My point is not arguing the perception, but still that idea is just the idea of waving the flag, knowing that other people's perceptions can go there. does that perpetuate the negative? The same way as, I don't know, Black Lives Matter.
Yes.
Could this movement, in a sense, be also putting in the face of, did I just compare Black Lives Matter to a rebel flag? I did too. God damn, I'm going to get beat up for that one. No, but right, I'm trying to play both sides, right? You know, I'm just wondering, right? Yeah. Is when you look at that, does that perpetuate the negative, right? Is staying to the stories of never forget, right? Never forget the Holocaust. Never forget the thing, right? And I mean, Israel.
Or never forget 9/11, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Things like that.
Perfect example.
You know what I mean? Never forget 9/11. That's another great, I would say another great analogy to the situation.
Tell me that hasn't, I mean, not to say you want to hold on to it, but I mean, years later when we talk about, 3,000 people tragically dying, right, and then compare the sizes of casualties in Iraq of just our war veterans, Iraqi citizens alone. Look at the Syrian war.
Right.
I mean, it's a minute number. And yeah, tell me that hasn't bred a fallen and miss hatred toward Muslims, et cetera.
Right.
You know, right. Some people are really afraid, and in that fear, they snap, right? They find themselves crossing. I want to try to focus more on race than the religious side. So there's too many people talking about Muslim and Christian stuff. But see, though,
yes,
a same racism idea can just perpetuate that, staying in the negative, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we warn people, this is a rough talk, you know? So, right, you know, are we doing ourselves and our world as a whole, our species, an injustice by holding on to our cultures? I mean, check this out. As we sit here and you talk about your people, your culture, I reference sort of some of my native people, some of the white people of me,
right?
Right. As we admit that there's a your culture and a my culture, right? We talk about that and say, yeah, you know, respect our roots, respect our pride. At the same time, we're admitting there's a separation of cultures, avid differences.
Right.
But if we announce out loud that there's a difference in some cliche manner between your race and my race, well, then I'm a fucking racist. But to the point, we already admit by saying there is a black culture, right? Mm-hmm. There is a black culture that exists in this country, right?
Right.
Okay, I just want to verify. I can't answer that question. I would say yes, but you can more than me.
Right.
You know, does a white hatred culture exist in this country? Definitely.
Yes.
So if we can admit that these different individual cultures exist, you know, if we hold on to them, then in a way, aren't we sort of perpetuating the separation as opposed to going, yeah, we got some history differences for sure. But right, hey, you like this artist. I like this artist. You like, you know what I mean? So is globalization good? And is it, that's why so many people are against it, is because what they're used to, what they know, what they've been taught, what they said, how it would be or should be, starts to drift away and change. You know, when you look at an increase huge in the last 10 to 20 years of interracial marriages.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So there's some that are avidly against this, some that are for it, some that don't give a shit.
Right.
So as cultures blend more and more, are we going to lose each other's cultures anyway? And the more are we, the more we hold on to them, to desperately hold on to all of ours, individual cultures, whatever, are we holding on to the negativity and just afraid to let go of what we're comfortable with and what we know? Because, or is it right? Do we keep it separate? Because yes, there is a black culture. Yes, there's a native culture. Yes, there's a white culture. And in order to sustain those cultures, there can be no inbreeding. We can't crossbreed. I mean, not inbreed. We can't crossbreed. It's this and that, right? Even though we're all the same species, right?
Right.
I'm speaking that tough stuff, you know? So that's why you get crossed, you know? How much do I want to be like, you know what? Forget the native stuff. I'm just a person. Just like you're a Rania person, right? And I'm like, you start to go there, but then you go, but I want my roots. I got to respect it, right? That's kind of where I'm at mentally, right? Is that idea of going, I'm supposed to say that I don't see color, right?
Right.
But just by saying that, I'm a fucking racist. Because if I say I don't see color, then I'm not seeing that you are a black man and respecting your culture. So this motherfucker, if you're saying, I don't see culture, I don't see color, well, check yourself. Because if you don't see that that's the opposite culture of yours, then you don't respect it, right? And even, here's a second remark, is the people that say, I don't care if you're purple, green, red, black, brown, right? You hear this comment. Well, why did you have to group black people, yellow people in with green people and brown people? as if our green people or purple people, as if they're alien. So you're saying that the black different colors of shades you're okay with, just as you're okay with alien colors too. You know, so to be colorblind, well, I'll let me pose the question, then you go off.
Okay.
Is it to be, is colorblind really culture blind? And should we be?
That sounds like an essay question. You know that, right?
That was fucking huge, bro.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Well, I'm walking on eggshells. That's all. I'm, you know, mind you, I'm playing devil's advocate on both sides. I would walk this side of the fence, jump over, talk this side of the fence. You know, I'm just laying it out.
You know, the issue that I've seen, and it's so many layers to this matter, is that for one, if a person doesn't recognize you for who you are as an individual, and they recognize that, yes, this is your culture and this is where you come from, and culture is what makes a city, it makes a community, it makes people, and again, respect and appreciation, then they're not recognizing you for your existence. And I say that because, again, I was reading an article on Facebook, and this is after the Oscars had finished, and how someone said about the whole, you know, Jada and Will situation, the Black Lives Matter situation popped off. Someone had the nerve to say as a remark that, oh, just get over it. And I stopped and I read that comment probably about 5 times.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, you know what? That was sheer ignorance. Because how are you going to tell an individual or a group of people to get over something when they haven't been recognized? Yeah. When
can't tell
you
them that.
Haven't recognized and appreciated that person for who they are. You know what I mean? Now, here's something else. Going back to the interracial dating thing that you were talking about. Now, for two people to come together, and they're from different cultures, different nationalities of the world, that means the core in their relationship is love, right? Now, they both recognize that, yes, you're from this place, and I'm from that place. And that's all well and good. We can appreciate it, right? We see it, and we acknowledge it. But at the same time, the thing that made us come together is because we have a lot in common, and love is the common thread in every relationship, period. That's what it should be. You know, some people are for it, some people are against it. I get it. That's just you and your opinion, whatever. But my issue is this: for you to say that this class of people are not worthy to be in these positions or to write their own story, or furthermore, to owning people, that's an issue for me. We shouldn't have to talk about it if these issues are not coming up. Because what we're looking for is solution. We're looking for a solution. We're looking for hope. You know what I mean? And we're looking for people to say, you know what, we see you and we acknowledge you, but that's not what's happening. The acknowledgement is not there. You know what I'm saying? I feel, again,
that's why I thought Black Lives Matter.
That's
just
the reason why a whole lot of Black Lives Matter movement is actually happening. And furthermore, I'm just putting this out here as well, too, with the whole presidency thing that's going on right now. Now,
wait, hold on. I'm going to stay on Black Lives Matter for a second.
All right.
It was, you know, I think they just made a bad marketing choice to go with Black Lives Matter to a point just for those weirdos out there that see and go, oh, yeah, well, so does something else. Right. Because you have to take into account the dumbasses. Right.
Of course.
Nobody's saying that any opposite live doesn't matter. But for the most part, right, blacks are being
focal point is on.
Right. Is right here. Yes. And their idea was to bring awareness to something, you know, it's just saying, hey, just look, because the numbers are real, that blacks are killed way more likely and imprisoned longer and more likely than any race.
Exactly.
So to just bring awareness to that and point at something got them a firestorm from apparently everybody that goes to see the movies.
Yeah. Oh, movies and music artists too, and hip hop as well. Just saying. So, but with the Black Lives Matter situation and how the way that popped off was because we weren't being recognized. We could look at this from two sides of the coin. First side is this, that our own people are killing each other off because there is a infrastructure that has manipulated and conditioned a group of people to think a certain way. Look at it like this. I just found this out. In Jamaica, my good friend, she's like a little sister to me. I was talking to her mom the other day. We had a 30, 45-minute conversation on my way to work, and she really loved what I did with my video project, going back to my project. But she made a mention that you have beautiful brown skin and dark skin people are bleaching their skin right now. Same thing that's happening in Brazil right now. Beautiful dark skin and brown skin women are literally bleaching themselves to look like, I'm sorry to say it, but I'm going to say it, a white person. Okay. So that tells me that media,
there's like an issue going,
there's a huge issue going,
like it's a
right now. This
a
is
lot of people doing it. And shit.
A
no
lot
kidding.
Of people, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can even look at the hair and health industry as well. You know what I mean? Like some sisters may say, "All right, you're wrong for saying that," but some sisters are like, you know what? Say it. Go ahead, preach. Here's the deal. In the hair industry, it's huge. All because of sew ins and weaves and extensions and all this stuff. But you don't want to rock your own hair. It's an issue there going on. That tells me that it's two things. One, you either, excuse my French, lazy as hell and you don't want to do your own hair. Or two, there is an insecurity complex that's going on in you saying that I don't like myself. Because, going back to culture, if you know your history and you know your roots of who you are proud for being who you are from your hair all the way down to your toenails. Easy. But at the same time, that person across the street knows it and they acknowledge it. So there should be a respect line. But again, there's that dividing board that we keep talking about. Okay. And then it's even gotten to the point of where I don't even hear about it in the presidential elections or debates or even with what else. I was just talking to a friend of mine about this situation. Yeah. There's certain things. I want to chime in on this. There's certain topics that have not been talked about in the presidential debate, and I'm jumping on them because it needs to be addressed because it is a community and a nationwide issue. How can we talk about immigration or foreign policy or anything else if we don't talk about what's happening in our own backyard? Okay. Let's talk about police brutality.
Hell, in our house.
Or in our house, period. Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? You have police brutality dealing with people of color. You have homeless veterans in all shades and all colors who are getting mistreated. And they still don't have a roof over their head, clothes on their back, and a food setting in front of them in their table.
Yeah.
Issue with that.
There's a few of them talking about veterans, but you're definitely right. I can honestly tell you that I've watched almost a majority of every debate on both sides, and I'll never get that time back in my life, so I wasted it. I'd probably learn more taking a shit, but for the most part, I can't really recall any representative, not even Ben Carson, going, cops are murdering people and we're imprisoning people. Right. Well, they're imprisoning everybody at a high rate, but even more so, you know, the black people, and no one, it's true. No one is, you know what? It's too
sad.
Yeah. It's too touchy. Bernie got close with Killer Mike on some issues.
Yeah.
But for the most part, nobody is going, you know, that injustice, you know, I mean, yeah, that's true.
That's my point. And the reason why I brought that up is because if you look at the pattern, there's a thread happening here. Every 4 years, there's a presidential debate happening, right? We always got to figure out, okay, which two of the lesser evils are we going to pick here for this year?
That's true, man.
Basically. Yeah. So my point was this. I'm not knocking immigration. I'm not knocking foreign policy or any other topic that they want to talk about. My main thing is this. If our community is being affected, then the president's seat should do something about it. The Congress should do something about it. The Senate should do something about it. The House
Detroit,
of Representatives.
Michigan.
Yeah,
let's go on.
Michigan.
Yeah, yeah.
Matter of fact, I got a friend of mine who's actually doing a benefit, Hip Hop for Flint. And for those of you who have not heard about what's going on in Flint, please Google it.
Yeah.
Because it is major. You even have Michael Moore, who is a world-renowned documentary filmmaker, who just found out about this, and he's doing something about it. He's going to talk about it in his next film.
Yeah, they do. They've been talking a lot. It's the cattle that are in and around Michigan area are actually drinking cleaner water than the human beings that live in Flint, Michigan, due to the legislative power of the lobbyists of big agriculture, big meat, you know, and they can do that, right? So cows are drinking better, longer, and than the people of Flint, Michigan. And for me, that's when the president can walk over and go, fuck this. You know what I mean? Like, no, no, no. But there's so much white tape that you just can't. Too much bureaucracy to change anything as humans drink poison or were, you know.
Yeah, especially as being affected in low poverty stricken communities. Who's in the low poverty stricken communities? Blacks, Hispanics, some whites that are in that mix as well too.
Yeah, definitely.
So guess what? It affects everybody. It affects life. That's all my point. Life is being affected by these situations and conditions. And if you don't do something about it, it's going to get worse. Yeah. Same thing with gentrification. People don't see it, but I see it a whole lot. Now, I'll tell you this much. Since I brought it up about gentrification, I'm going to go there. For example, right here in our own city, Orlando. Now, Orlando got a renovation for Centris Bowl and with the Amway Arena and all that stuff. But guess what happened to all the homeless people? Everybody who's in the downtown district, they're being shifted to the west side.
Yeah.
Okay? But no one is actually taking the initiative to say, you know what? We need to do something to help out these people.
No, the homeless issue is a issue far spread across the state of Florida, from Gainesville to Sarasota. You know, my mom, she's the assistant county manager, or assist deputy county, I don't know, something city manager of Sarasota County. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the top issues. From there to Gainesville to Miami, it's huge. And a lot of that's veteran implicated, drugs, addiction, mental health implicated,
right,
financially implicated. And, you know, also to circle back to is, I'm going to go all the way back, you know, to the culture question that we were pondering was, or that we were throwing around, is when we talked about relationships that are cross culture, mm-hmm. you know, that combine, that have children, et cetera. You know, it was funny, maybe 10 years ago, it was sad, really. There was a video actually that was being played at schools that was talking about mixed children, et cetera, and acceptance, right?
Right.
And, I've actually had a few clients before that they struggle with what culture to identify to.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes the parents would split up, et cetera. Then the cultures get even more exemplified sometimes on the back end, right? To where mm-hmm. The black lady may return to where she grew up, where around more of a culture, find a black replacement husband, right?
Right.
And then the white guy may, you know, go here. But then meanwhile, they share a child. And, I mean, this is real. But this child was pulled from two cultures. And what I noticed is one of the biggest things that stood out was the difference between the education, the socioeconomic status of one culture versus the other.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that pull, but that child really pulled. They were unsure and literally were living two different lives at two different locations with two different sets of friends, two different kinds of music, wasn't even allowed to listen to certain things, right? Because after the divorce, it just separated from the culture, just hated the, you know, in both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think of things like that, when you think of that cross cultures, is it really just species with a little bit more of a different skin pigmentation than it is any other culture, rather than crossing cultures? You know, that's what I keep going back to. So if you and I can talk about plainly how cultures are divided, that there are cultures of different races
right.
that have roots. But if we point that out and say, but you have to be wary of crossing those cultures and marriages, etc.
Right.
Well, A, you're a racist off rip if you say that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you even take that to any other extent, right? Yeah, it's just over. Even if you take it from a national extent or religious extent, right? You know, if you marry that non-Jewish boy, you're in trouble. You know
right.
what I mean?
Exactly.
So it crosses all lanes. And it's weird, though, how religion is a culture is, right? But, you know,
get your point. Yeah.
Right. So that crossing over, I don't know. Do you think it's okay? Do you think that crossing cultures through species getting together and crossing it, is it important for the black culture to teach the roots of the black culture to the mixed child? And is it, you know what I mean?
Right.
Do we stop altogether? You know? Yeah. So it's, both sides in some dimwit idea can hold water, depending on how smart someone is or can think. So you could argue the point definitely that further, that crossing those cultures causes problems. Right, that would be the nationalist that also says close the borders, don't help anybody.
Right.
You know, or the other extreme to where it's like, no, who cares about culture or race or whatever? No, just all go together. Will we lose, you know? You see that wave, right?
Right, absolutely. It's like, and they've talked about this in film as well, too. You know, one of the films that pop in my head right now as you're talking is Spike Lee's Jungle Fever, right? And I use that movie as an example because you're going to have a group of people that are going to be intrigued by another class of individuals. You know what I mean? Or as we said back in school, you know, you're going to have that one white girl that's going to be interested in that brother over there because there's something about that brother she is intrigued with because mom and dad said, oh, don't go over there now because this is what's going to happen right here. You know what I'm saying? So you need to stay over here past these railroad tracks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's been like that for generations, always. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to go this angle. Thomas Jefferson even had a sister.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Look, man, hey, I took some words. I was seventh grade, and I crossed over, boy. Shout out to Markeisha Harp. my seventh grade girlfriend, Markeisha Harp, if you're listening out there, I'm not sure what happened to you. Hope you're doing well. It was an interesting night. Her and I went to our date movie to go see the movie Higher Learning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was about me and two other white dudes in that movie. That's it, brother. And I'm sitting on the edge with my... Marquise was awesome. She was so laid back and chill. But man, let me tell you, I took some flack, you know, for that. On a social end, I lost some friends on that end for doing that.
Absolutely.
You know, it really was, you know, to the most part. But yeah, got to cross over. So Thomas Jefferson, I get
Thomas
you, bro.
Thomas Jefferson, he did it. You know,
hey, but apparently I came back, though. I went black and I came back, though. My wife is white. But I like to think of her as Iroquois, which she is. She has native into her, right? See, but then again, am I racist? You know, I'd rather see the native in my wife than the white in my wife, right? Is this, see?
Oh, man.
This is what I talk about, right? So
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's rough.
But what if you just, I'm just going to say this and we'll get back into that conversation for a second. But what if you saw something deeper in her and that's why she is with you right now?
You know what I respected about her?
And respected her heart and her mind and everything.
She was really nice. She was quiet. She didn't talk a lot, but she dressed loud. She didn't have to talk. You know what I mean? Big blue hair.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
She didn't have to talk. She was loud, but she was very soft-spoken. She talked like this, you know? And the area that she was from was hype. It wasn't nice. And she managed to stay nice in that. And for me, I saw strength in that. You know what I mean? That's what I picked out from her. You know, because my home life, although my room may have been a little bigger than some of the friends that
right.
were from that neighborhood, the violence that transpired within my home, it may not have been gunshots, et cetera, you know, the same, but it was violence. It was a war zone.
It was still gunshots to you, though.
Yeah. And where she lived, it was war zone, you know, and maybe that's it. Damn, I never really thought about that, dog. And there was a calmness to her. In that, and for me, I was chasing calmness for a long time.
So. Okay, now what you just said, I'm gonna tie it in now. Okay, with the interracial dating thing, because they started to see each other's strengths. Okay, and that's why they're able to pull together the way that they're doing right now. Whoever it is, because we all know that if you go to Brooklyn, you're going to see everything in Brooklyn. Okay, it's a huge melting pot. Matter of fact, America is a huge melting pot now, and we know that. So diversity has always been around for generations.
That's the difference. Should we become the melting pot to where all of our cultures assimilate and become left behind, to where there's just Rania and Adam who are Americans that do this, and leave the story behind, as we kind of talked about, leave the negatives or whatever, and do we melt the pot, really? Right. Or what's the, what, how they used to say it? Are we, somebody's freaking out listening to this going, no, they say this. It's a lady. I've quoted her twice tonight. I'm going to have to, I'll give her respect on the post, but she's the one that posed that you're racist if you say you don't see color. You're, you know, racist if you compare it to different ideas of separating culture. But, well, keep going.
No. I get your point on what you're saying, and it's the same, and I'm going to tie it into what Hollywood is doing as well, too. It's like if two entities can recognize each other's culture and they can recognize and appreciate each other's culture and then go deeper than that, where they can see their strength, they see their heart, they see the passion, they see fire, they see all these things and still come together in love. To me, that's a beautiful thing. But you're going to have certain infrastructures such as Hollywood or KKK or whoever that says, you know what? We don't like this.
You know where you could say?
Okay.
You could say Tampa, Florida, Southwest, down that line. Not everybody. But my daughter actually took a picture of this. We drove down to pick up her girlfriend halfway. And as you get off of the I-4 exit onto onto 75
right,
to head south there, there is a gigantic rebel flag that's massive. Mm. It's on this huge pole. A massive pole, you know.
Right.
And, I mean, you can't miss it. You cannot miss the size of this fucking flag, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I couldn't help but look at that and appreciate the freedom of the country that we live in, mm-hmm. that someone could do that and put up anything they want to. That's fine. You know, I wouldn't tell anybody to take a flag down. I don't care. Put up whatever you want to. But even for the most part, like you said, that is, there's those cultures that there's a lot of people don't agree that flag means racism, et cetera, but some do, yes. Right? But, you know, God, it's so hard, though, when you think, do you infringe on the freedoms because the majority thinks it's offensive, right? Or is that freedom's allowed? And I agree with it. You should be able to do as many drugs as you want to, hang as many flags as you want to, as long as you're not harming nobody mm-hmm. or hurting anybody, you know, do that. You know, I'm game with that. Fuck, I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's a lot when you're talking
about... Mind you, she took a picture of the flag because she saw it as kind of like, what the fuck? You know, she saw it like in... Almost like she was taking a picture of like a dinosaur, right? She was like...
A monument.
Right. She was like, can you... Not a monument as if it was respectful, as if it was more or less like, can you fucking believe it, right? She was more or less taking the picture like...
Okay, I get you now.
Like, look at this shit. You know what I mean? Like, as if she saw an artifact. Right, mm-hmm. as if she had seen some ancient thing and couldn't believe that it was still up, that she had to take a picture of it.
Still exists.
Yeah, and be like, look at this craziness.
That's exactly my point, because you're going to have a group of people that are going to give you two different interpretations. Some are going to say, oh, yeah, you know, we got to preserve Southern heritage.
Sure.
And there's another group of people that says, no, this reminds us of slavery.
Right. And they're both right.
And beatings and all these other things as well, too, that goes along with it. So, yeah, if you want to say agree to disagree, whatever, then that's fine. But my point is this, that there should be awareness to the situation. But after you have awareness, where do you go next? Because it needs to be a solution to every single problem. And again, I have to go back to Hollywood, is because there is an infrastructure such as them, and I feel this wholeheartedly, that I believe it was never designed from the beginning dealing with our culture.
Go further.
I mean, to be quite honest, I feel like the more I look at it, it's like, okay, tell me something. Now, right now, just as of last year, their president, Cheryl Boone Isaacs, African-American woman, mm-hmm. president of the Oscar Foundation.
Right, right.
Or Academy, however you want to label it. Y'all get me. Now, she's representing a worldwide organization that talks about the art of filmmaking and acting, right? So this is supposed to be open for everybody across the board. So if she's in this position of power, then how come her position of power did not affect the nominations that need to bring in these black actors or actresses within their films and give them recognition and awareness of saying that, you know what, your work was great. We give you recognition for that. Or your work was great because we give you recognition for that. Okay. So it made me question about, okay, now if she's the president, who's pulling her strings? You get me?
Yeah. I mean, there's got to be financial influence, push influence from somewhere. You know, what do they always say? Follow the money to follow.
Exactly. So it's like they have their own Congress. They have their own House of Representatives. They have their own Senate, et cetera, because that's where all the money's coming from.
Yep.
Since you're dealing with a capitalist system in the first place.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So someone is really operating the ship and they're just telling her what to do in this situation. I call it, you're pacifying the situation. Sure. And not really healing and getting to a place of restoration, because it's an issue and it's still an issue right now. Because if you're not recognizing this person's talent for who they are, regardless of what color or shade that they are, they're talented, period.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And my mom made a great point, because we were sitting there watching the Oscars, and I'm like, you know what? And I even posted this on Facebook. Y'all can go back and take a look at my post. I said, man, I'm having mixed feelings about this right now. I really am. Through all of it. Even with Chris Rock hosting, and he did an amazing job. Kudos to Chris, if you're listening. But my point is that, okay, man, you did a wonderful job talking about it. Now, where do we go from here? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because if you're having everybody else who is a person of color saying, well, we're not going to go to the Oscars because we're not being validated. So we're not going to take that seat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, if you want to say, oh, I'm going to play the game, all right. I know exactly where you stand. But you're playing the game does not mean that we're going to move forward as the people.
Yeah. I mean, if you take yourself out of the game, does it ever change? You know, if Denzel steps up and goes, you know what, I'm never doing another film because of whatever. I mean, do people get angry, or does Hollywood just whitewash him away and replace him with somebody else? You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, I doubt Denzel's non-replaceable. I disagree. He's the man. He's fucking awesome.
Yes, all right. Is.
So, yeah, it's not replaceable personally. But
yeah.
You know what I mean, though, is that crossover. So, I mean, if you did 100 years from now, I don't know, right? If scientists would know, if you could just fast forward from now, obviously we're going to cross culture like crazy, right? We're going to, I mean, the internet has already brought every culture pretty much on the forefront anyway,
mm-hmm.
Connected at some point.
Of course.
You know, and I can't help but see that over time, eventually we're all just kind of some sort of the same color of some shade of a, you know, of something, you know,
right.
Go 1,000 years. I don't care. You
like
know what
an
I mean?
Extension of a branch, basically. I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
And the crazy part about it, and I'm glad you had mentioned this, and now this is popping in my mind. Black culture can never be replaced. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have always had our footprints and our handprints within every single continent.
Well, yeah, I mean,
think about
it originated over there. I mean, that's where time started, and our, what is it, our pigmentation changes as we left the equator,
mm-hmm.
and different, you know, we evolved differently and at different areas, depends on who you want to follow for creation, story, or evolution, whatnot. But, it, you know, if life starts in Ethiopia, we had skin pigmentation that was darker for reasons, and
right.
And I was reading something that as we spread further across continents, et cetera, skin tones change, et cetera. It was less in need. So as we developed further from the equator, people are whiter, right? Mm-hmm. And so rather a reflection of any kind. But then again, you know, we're asked not to see color. Right. But then again, if I'm asked not to see color when I look at somebody, am I ignorant to their culture if I don't see their color?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If I say, I don't see that you're this, well, fuck, I'm racist because now I don't see that you're this. But if I say that I see that you're this, I'm fucking racist.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so you get caught in this world to where you can barely say a fucking thing about anything. And you got people that just shut up, you know? And that's why I said, so if I point out the fact, for one, is it racist to point out the fact that a particular person was either black, Asian, or culture in the middle of telling a story? Is that racist? You know, is it important that I got to point out the fact that it was an Asian guy, that it was a white girl, right? Do I have to point this out?
Right. I understand what you're saying.
Right. Because is that a form of racism? Is it a microaggression, right? Like a lot of people argue the fact exists. And maybe those microaggressions feed the bigger racial aggressions because we say things so racial off the cuff that we don't realize, right? So
which
maybe
could it be preconditioned.
That's right. And so maybe we are racist when we say that, right? Yeah. Oh, it's my friend who's coming over. Yes, this white boy is cool as shit, man. You know how many times I was introduced as this cool as shit white boy?
Right.
And you think nothing of it, right? I would never think anything of it. But just in the talk now, and when you learn the microaggressions, you think that, you know, off the cuff, you know. And like you said, the more we point that out. So as we evolve, does it become more important to point out the fact that someone, hey, that's a black guy, this is a white dude, you know, to point that out? Or if we don't, are we ignoring the culture to which they really are?
Right.
You feel me?
I believe it's always the black culture's, to a certain extent, has been ignored for a very, very long time, you know, and I will say this. I forgot the name of the doctor who talked about this. There's a series called Hidden Colors. I would recommend to anybody to check it out. It's 4 volumes, okay? But it really gives exposure and awareness to how African Americans, or just people of color, Moors, how they had their footprints and their handprints stamped in every single continent, to achievements, to everything you can possibly think of.
Yeah.
To world travelers, history makers, athletes, musicians, you name it. I mean, they even date back to the era of Beethoven. You know what I mean? They even dig into religion and all kind of other places. But we've always had our handprints and our footprints within every continent. We were there. And again, you know, I feel like the key thing that a person needs to look at is melanin. That's the thing. Melanin is us right here, okay? And someone who, as they say in science, melanin recessive, which means that you don't have the ability to absorb the sun, okay? Therefore, you're able to have that darker skin tone the way that you do, or have that ability to, with the sun, it has all kind of vitamins.
It's part of the reason that I can go in the sun for 24 to 48 hours, lobster, dive, and fish. And as long as I put some stuff just under my nose or eye, maybe, I'm good. That little bit of red that's in me, I mean, I won't burn. And the next day, there's no aloe and shit on me. You know what I mean? I get a little red. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to disrespect and to ignore the melanin within this country is an issue. Because if you think about it, and I'm going to put it to you like this. Our crops, our vegetables, our fruit, all these things, how are they grown? In soil, right? So what color is soil?
Black.
Black.
Is that your black power movement joke, man? Well, you know what? Color are all those vegetables?
What color are the vegetables?
It doesn't matter. They're every color. No, man, exactly. I'm fucking with you, man.
Exactly. But the key thing is that you cannot ignore the things that black culture has done with excellence. It's always been there.
And dude, I'm trying to rack my brain.
It's so crazy. Like, even me, and as long as I've studied my own history and my own culture for so long, I'm still learning new things every single day as I'm sitting here with you guys right now and just continuing to dig within books and within history.
Now, you've gotten, have you gotten angry? Have you gotten upset more or less? How's it affected you?
That's a good question, actually. You know, I do find myself to get angry, not angry at the individual, but the angry part of me says the ignorance and the spirit of racism still exists.
Yeah.
And you're allowing that energy to still breathe onto you and into your seeds and to anybody else that is affected around your circle.
Yeah.
That is my issue with that situation.
So you did get more angry the deeper into your culture you went.
Yeah, the deeper I look at it, and when you go back into history, even before that slavery movement happened, you know, I'm like, you know what? We had a position of power at one point. And then when we got past the slavery stage, then you find out more as you're digging within the history books. Okay, now we migrated here. We're here by force in America. Now you're telling us, okay, you're free to go now and then travel throughout this unknown land, this territory. And then we try to live and try to grow things and try to make stuff and really live. And then we're trying to migrate with another class and with another race. You still say, no, we don't need you guys. You know, you can just do for yourself, whatever. Just go on about your business. And then when we do those things and we do it collectively and we thrive, now you have a certain group of people that tell you, well, look at what they have. You know, well, we don't like that. Let's go tear their stuff down or burn it or shoot it up or let's hang some people. This to me is crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you're telling us that, okay, we're not good enough to be in your group or not good enough, as you said, to play in the game. We're trying to do it for ourselves and we are doing it for ourselves and we're minding our own business. And here's the interesting thing that most people don't get it. If you still dig in your history books, I recommend it highly for everybody. Please dig in your history books. Seriously. Black culture has been known for two things. One, we've always been peaceful people. Always. We don't start nothing. But guess what? We're going to end it. We're going to finish it. And then two, we've always been spiritually connected. We've always recognized the higher power. Now, no, you don't want to go into the religion part. But that's my point, is that we've always been peaceful people. We've minded our own business. But when you have another group of people to say, you know what, you're going to come with us and work for us, so then you want to enslave mass people. And I'm not talking about hundreds of thousands. I'm talking about millions.
Yes, yeah. It went on for a long, long time.
For a very, very long time, you know. And then you take the people and you put them out of their own continent, out of their own country, their own province, to an unknown land, which wasn't yours, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you're going to make them do free labor. Okay. For millions and millions of years, however you want to put it, 400 years, 500 years, whatever. Free labor, and you made benefit and funds off of the labor of somebody else. That to me, the more deeper I got into it, that's the thing that really made me upset.
Yes, I got angry. Now you're ready. I'm gonna tell you this. Here's the other side. Get over it.
Okay.
Right? That's the other side, right? That you hear them going, "Hey, so it doesn't exist anymore. Move on. Affirmative action came around. Right. You know, they give the job to the black guy before they give it to me anyway." Right. Mm-hmm. So this is the response. This is, you know, this is the other side. The response to that is going, yeah, we get it,
right,
but get over it. Now you guys got everything. Right. This is what you'd hear. You go to college before this.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's what would they say? Yeah, there's no United White College Fund. Right. This is an argument. This is a response,
right,
you know, you hear.
Of course.
I'm trying to cover. So you get that notion. Right. That's the response to
I've
people.
Always gotten that notion. I mean, even in my own personal experiences, and I'll just give you some of them. Now, I remember one year I was a sophomore in college. I was out of school. Summertime, birthday came around, right? I'm minding my own business, been working. So it was my birthday weekend. Happened to go to, I'm not going to say the name of the store, but went into this particular store, checking around, saying, you know, I'm going to give me a nice fit, okay? Get a couple of shirts, some pants. I'm good. I like it for me, for my birthday. Now, as I'm minding my own business, here is an associate. Okay, and I'm going to identify her. Okay, so older Caucasian woman, about in her late 30s, early 40s or so. So she comes up to me the first time and she says, "Excuse me, sir, can I help you with something?" And I said, "No, ma'am, I'm good. I'm just checking around. You know, if I see something, I'll notify you. I'll get back to you." She says, "Okay, not a problem." But 5 minutes later, as I'm checking and I'm going from rack to rack, looking at clothes, in my peripheral vision, she's still following me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And here I am thinking to myself, wait, hold up for a second. Because, you know, you had that conversation with yourself. All right.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know she is not following me. Are you serious? I work. I'm in school. I'm educated. And I got my own money.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously? We're going to go with this? But the question should be, where did she get this thought process from?
No, most of that's passed down, socialized, social constructs. I mean, I can't front. They tend to follow my ass if I'm in one of those Target or Walmart stores and I'm looking for something specific.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm moving quick and looking. And I've caught before to where I'm getting tailed. You know, you're behind and you're like, all right, I get you. You know what I mean? But it's hard not to feel offensive in any kind, right? Whether if you're, I get you're doing your job. You know, if there's a secret, you know, shopper type people,
mm-hmm.
you know, but
exactly.
but following excessively to a point to where you're kind of like, geez, man, you know what I mean? And this one dude was following me for excessively.
Right.
You know, there's a difference between checking on it, you know, and, you know, how, I mean, how far, right? You know, I said the devil's advocate would be here tonight and the devil's going to hang out over there playing advocate, okay?
All right.
And how far, though? Like we said before, you know, the response to be, well, if someone's just assuming that, right? What if, and what her response would be, oh, I'd follow if you were a white person too, right? You know, if you cornered her, if she was cornered and Channel 9 was like, okay, man, why are you following the, you know, we've been spying on you, right? This is hidden camera.
Right.
You know, oh, no, we were just doing my job, you know. Could someone argue that the holding on to the assumptions of that based on a lot of history
mm-hmm.
is really just reverse racism? Happening. Yeah, I said it. Remember, I'm just playing devil's advocate, people. Don't freak out and throw shit at the fucking screens or nothing, right? I mean, we're he's together enough, Ron, and we've talked long enough to where he gets that idea, so don't freak out, people.
Yeah, you're good. Okay. Well, you know what? I think that is...
I mean, just the amount of people being shot and locked up of a specific color being black. I mean, these things exist.
Right,
we
right.
get that, right? But I'm just saying this is what you hear at Trump rallies on Muslim scales, right? On Mexican scales.
Of course.
Right? Now, what we're supposed to believe that the Muslim and Mexican haters just think blacks are okay, though. But Mexicans aren't okay and Muslims aren't okay. Although I wonder what I don't know what it is, but what the population of African Americans that are Muslim are.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So is it a way to really say, you know, because they got to know, right? They got to know that African-Americans are pretty popular in the Muslim world. So is it a way, right. is it easier for them to go, is it like saying the N-word, right? You know, when they go, somebody said the N-word, you just made everybody around you say the word. You know what I mean? And so is for them, could it, I'm just throwing this fucking, here we go, conspiracy out there, but could the idea that saying it's easier to yell at the brown people with the beards, right? And the Mexicans taking jobs. But for the most part, we're supposed to believe that those people also, but they're cool with black people. They're cool with black people, cool with Asian people, all the right. other peoples. But they hate Muslims who are the, I don't know if it's a majority that are black in America. I don't know. But, you know, could it just be a fucking Trojan horse sneaky way of saying, hey, rah, rah, we're racist? I don't know, man. I mean, compared to how we started this conversation with the movies, if the majority of people that are seeing movies are requesting white people from Boston to play Egyptian Ramses,
mm-hmm.
right? And Tom Cruise's to play samurais. And if this is what the majority in the $300 million, $500 million make a movie range, that's a lot of people.
Yes, it is.
I mean, is that speaking to what we expect to see as a majority in the future in these elections in music? You know, is that really just speaking to the actual racist fucking country majority? Racist country that we possibly could live in.
Or I would say for the redundant.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, maybe it's just the same preaching on. If you had to say, right, if you had to split it down and reverse racism to whatever you want to define that to be, or what percentage of the country, of the United States, out of 100% of the people that live here, 300 million and change, 340 million, whatever, What percentage do you think is actually racist knowingly versus possibly, and you know what, include racist maybe unknowingly, right? That they say there was this black guy that did it, this, you know, this Asian guy that did it, right? The white girl that did it. You know what I mean? What would you say if you had to, we're generalizing, right? So if we're just, if you really had to throw out there, what would you think? I don't know where I'm leaning.
Willingly and unwillingly. Can, or willingly and, well.
I'm taking your KKK guy and then the guy that doesn't realize it saying microaggressions.
Right. I was thinking of that. Like
who's cool with black guys because he's got two friends he can name, but he'll be damned if it's going to date his daughter or something like that.
You know
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what does everybody usually say? Oh, no, I'm not racist. I got two black friends or two white friends, right? You hear both sides.
All the time.
You know, but so I'm talking, combine them all. You know, the ones that really only tread on microaggressions out loud but are really racist when they're alone at home. Mm-hmm. And the ones that are outspoken doing rallies, you know, wearing sheets. You know, if you had to, and, you know, include the black race, too. The ones that are walking, that hate fucking white people and reverse, right? If you had to add all, and the Puerto Ricans that hate Mexicans and the, you know, and the Spanish that hate the Latino, whatever.
Right.
If racist toward any culture, how much of the 100% of this 340 million, whatever, 320 something million people in the United States would you say have a form of racism?
In my humble opinion, I would say, because that is a really large number, and again, this is just my opinion.
Yeah, we're throwing it around.
I would say about 90%.
Wow. I was leaning on 60, 70.
Nah. Only reason why I said 90 is because of this.
Holy shit, dog. That's a fucking giant number.
It is a, again, I go back to the heart condition. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean is that there's a mental and a heart condition that is taking place and happening. Those that are aware that they are racist, or those that are they're aware but don't want to do anything about it,
because
that's another whole enchilada that you got to deal with too. Because those that are aware of their own condition of racism, but they don't want to do anything about it, is more scary. For me, because you have the power to change the situation right now. So even with,
like, those that watch and do nothing,
exactly,
you're as guilty as those.
Your
that are,
hands are under your bottom.
Yeah,
and you don't want to do anything about it, or your hands are folded and don't want to do anything about
it. Or they don't know what to do.
Or they don't know what to do. But you know what though? I do believe that they know what to do. They're just scared. They don't want to do it. You know what I mean?
Wow, and what's that speak to the power of the community that's racist around them, if it's keeping them paralyzed on both sides of the fence?
Like I said earlier about the two coins, right, on both sides. The one coin is dealing with my own culture, because we have hatred within our own selves.
You got slavery black on black right now going on in Africa. Exactly. I mean, you kidding? Yeah, I mean, that's black on black slavery.
You don't even go to Africa right now. You can go in the backyard. Pine Hills, Compton,
yeah.
Detroit.
Oh, I thought you were talking about black on black slavery. Yeah.
Well, not just with slavery, but it's about just the killing and mass murdering, even in Chicago.
I would venture to say that maybe wearing a Nike sweater or a Jordan is promoting enslaved labor of certain camps. I mean, you could argue these things.
Yeah,
I mean,
I agree.
We could go as far as, I mean, they're Indian, Bangladesh, Indonesian.
You're absolutely correct, because as a matter of fact, and I'm glad you said this, that through research, there's even black athletes or black entertainers who don't go back to their own community and start creating jobs.
Did you see that thing on Kendrick Lamar on Vice?
No.
On Viceland? You got to watch that shit, man.
Okay.
I can't front. I got a new respect for that boy. I like Kendrick Lamar, man. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. I watched that. It was a great show. You know, he returns. He's from Bompton, as they call it, because his blood Compton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he goes back there and he helps the community. He donated the huge amount of funds he tried to keep secret to the local school there. Shout out to the Apaches there in Compton. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's like $1 million, $2 million or something. Donated a huge amount of money just to keep the music program going. You know, there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So glad you said that, too, because look what's happening, because you're having grants and programs that are being cut from state government, and they're saying that, nope, we don't have no more money.
Here's the other side, though. Affirmative action was bullshit anyway. There should be just as many special white groups and money as there are for any other culture for groups and money, right? You can hear them. Mm-hmm. You know, my white daughter should have just as much, you know, to get into a college as someone else's daughter, you know, especially if they make better grades, right. You know, and trying to equal that out. That's what the other side's going to say. You know what I mean? Is the fair shot.
Right. And as so, they would say it's the fair shot or whatever their definition is of fair shot.
Yeah. Let's ignore the fact that most colleges are accepting certain cultures and races and the idea that black college had to be created for black culture to advance in education. Right. We can go into
on and on.
Hell, the SAT itself can be argued at now they've done a lot of changes to it, but they still are off in a lot of marks, you know. So, I mean, they're so, you know,
it's a lot, man.
We feel so young, bro.
You can even go back to...
God, you think we'd get farther than this. But when you look back, you go, we're so young still in this racial shit. The hell, The Breakfast Club still trips me out. That movie seems like it's so young.
Right.
But it's so fucking racist. Like, you know what? I do remember. I was watching it with my daughter. She watched it a lot. And there was a part where literally Emilio Estevez says some racist shit, dude. Mm. And it happens a few times in the movie. And I remember going... They would be ridiculed if this movie came out today with this kind of language. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd be like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. You know, and there's a few things like that. And so, God, it's so sad, right? That we're, I mean, we are young. We're, what, 200 years old as a country and not far, you know, removed from so much shit. And it's, God, at some days I still feel like we're so ancient, bro. And I'm like, we're not far at all, you know?
It's still parallel because, again, I have to go back to my video, which is called Keep On Fighting. I actually pinpoint the reflection of 1965 to 2015, 2016. And they're both parallel to each other.
Dude, the schools are more segregated now.
Same events that are happening back then is still happening right now. And it's more bold and blunt right in front of you. So, yeah, you're right. The question has to be, okay, what are we doing as not just individuals, but as a community collectively to come together and say, we need to stop this now?
Would it help if we all stopped talking about our cultures? That's kind of where I open this up. Is a solution here to help fight racism or anything is to stop teaching the roots of our culture, to truly question Marcus Garvey. And go, the idea of let's let culture go. I'm not a United States / Native American Floridian from the west side of Orlando, right? See, look how deep the segregations run in my, and just to announce myself.
Right.
First, I'm a United States, right? Then I'm from this state. Then I'm from this city. Then I'm from the hell. Now I'm from this area code. Now I'm from, right? We divide ourselves on so many fuck. We chop ourselves the fuck up.
Right.
So is a solution to go, I'm done bragging about how the Native American culture is better than the American culture, was better than the Irish culture, right? Do I say I'm done holding up the fact that my Native people had it right if the white people didn't show up? Well, that would be half of me wouldn't be here, right? Or do I argue, well, if the white people didn't show up, we would, you know, something negative. And you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So is a solution really to leave nationalism and culturalism behind and really just say there is no culture, there is no state, there is no city, there are no roots, that we are just now in the present to move forward with no story, but only a future story to say that you are a human being named Ronnie Hawkins and I'm a human being named Adam Lowry and I don't see pigmentation because I don't know. Or do we see pigmentation to go, I appreciate the black culture? Or does that just continue differences? See why I've been fucking toiling with this shit for a while now? Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. You see why I'm kind of on that fence is going.
No. I understand exactly what you are saying. And for me, it's the same thing because I have my own internal conversations with this stuff as well, too, because I look at it from both sides. I try to fit myself into what Caucasians are thinking or other races are thinking, but then also I'm looking at my people as well at the same time.
Hell, your own people will call you names if you don't if you, you know, you'll be an Uncle Tom in 10 minutes.
You'll get ridiculed in a heartbeat. And I've been ridiculed on several occasions.
Now, I've seen the younger generation. Some of it's changing. I do. You know, they're starting to kind of get away from that. That you know, bro, I'm sorry to cut you off. I thought about my mama. But her generation gives me hope almost. I'm telling you. I'll tell you. I was deep in some natural meditation. Let's just call it that. And it was weird. I got hit with this idea that the young light generation has won already, right? And I don't mean light, like skin pigmentation. Like the younger generation, the light has conquered the dark already, that the hatred from these younger generations is gone, that the love is, I can almost see it in Mo's generation, mm-hmm. You know, and it gave me this smile almost. It was like, okay, it's just taken a while, right. You know, to change, you know, and to I don't know. But is colorblind the solution? Or is colorblind racist too? Yeah, man.
it definitely is an individual thing, because I think people forget that even during civil rights movement, you still had a mixture of African-Americans and whites.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, it
was fighting for the same thing. Right. You know, or you had several Caucasian members that were with Freedom Riders, or they were with NAACP, and they understood what this group and this class was fighting for. Yeah. And they were in support of it. And I think, as you said, the more deeper you get into it, the more deeper you get into your textbooks and you start to reading and really start the fact of, well, you know what? Is it pro-black? Is it pro-white? That's the deal. But you know that there is a bigger force behind what is going on. So we all know that love conquers anything. Okay. But how can we get to the love if there is no knowledge and no wisdom behind that?
You know, I think you may have said the word at the beginning of this, respect, right? Respect the fact that he can wave the rebel flag, maybe. And respect the fact, you know what I mean? It's really a fine line, bro, isn't it? To look at the idea of, oh, man, it is hard. You know, I got to respect the fact. As long as I think, do anything you want. As long as the culture isn't offensive or hurt anybody, you know, literally hurting people. Mm-hmm. Even if it's offensive, fuck it, do it. Who gives a shit? It's free.
Right.
You know, that's the free culture we live in. And like I'm still on that wall, of that fence of, you know, do I continue to be proud about the culture I come from? To know my story, to talk about it, even though the closer I get to one side of my culture to the other, the more I hate the other. And the more it even teaches me almost, you can't help. History just kind of shows you can't help. And the more you've gotten closer to your history and roots, you know, you said the angrier you've got toward a culture, which of course, and the hatred's only grown in Israel through the Palestinians and et cetera. That's only extended, right?
Yeah, that's crazy too.
The more we stay on every story of idea, and I don't know, you know, whether to let go of the idea of culture. Do we hold on to it as if it's something on the shelf that we go, hey, look at my old albums, look at my old pictures, meaning my old culture. And that's fun to look at. But now let's put it on the shelf because I can't have any of that culture. Because if I'm proud of any of that culture, I almost almost indirectly hate another culture. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah,
it's so. I can see why it can be so confusing to people, right?
It can be confusing, but it can also hurt the situation as well. And as you were talking, there's two key words that popped in my mind. You said the first one was respect, and then the second one that come to my mind is recognize. And a lot of people don't recognize that through that recognition of okay. Our people were here, and we had many, many levels of contributions throughout this country, okay? And I think the more you start to look at it and do your research, and you're looking and you're observing, you're seeing what's really going on, is that are we really fully being recognized for our contribution as a people and as a culture? Because I do believe that a person needs to know who their culture is. They need to know who their history is. But at the same time, if you're not getting someone to respect you, and I think that's where the majority of our anger is coming from with black people. Now, the only reason why I'm able to move forward and to love someone like you or other many friends of mine who come from different shades.
Someone like me is racist as fuck. No, I'm fucking with you. Imagine if I said that to a stranger out there who happened to have your skin pigmentation. If I walked up and said, man, people like you. Holy shit, man. I'd be in a fight. I'd be a rap.
Right. But the only reason why.
Sorry, I'm perpetuating racism.
No, you're good. Okay. I have many, many friends from different cultures, right? Okay.
Yes, you do.
The only reason why I'm able to do what I do and how we're able to get along so well is because love found me. And love is the thing that will heal every single race.
I would agree there, man. I mean, Bobby's got it right. Bob Marley been saying it from the get. Maybe, right? Maybe, as we talked about evolving over 1,000 years, that eventually our species is going to change into something. Who knows, mm-hmm. right? Maybe we're really smart enough as a species naturally that what we're really trying to do is evolve as a species. And so really, to cross cultures is good.
Right.
Because what if we can pull the superpowers from this culture, right? The superpowers from this culture, right? And what if we're just slowly evolving, you know, to peak, right? I mean, let's say a couple things that are cliches about cultures that could be strengths that we pull from each culture.
Right.
What could be a strength from the black culture that's a cliche that we could add to enhance the entire world? Well, hell, dude, that's a long list. Never mind. You can add. You got music and from music and Chuck Berry to writing.
So much.
I mean, you mentioned some inventors from back. It may have been you that sent me that video that went all the way back. But
yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to think. Like, you know what a cliche that sticks out to me a lot, and I'm from the South, so the South helps a lot in this cliche.
Okay,
is that black culture is family oriented. And stay strong yes. within the family and has
yes.
big families that are well, you know, that stay connected,
mm-hmm.
you know, that rich or poor, despite that, jail or not,
right.
You know, big success or not,
mm-hmm.
that a lot of those families tend to stay together or at least stay close with it or respect the notion of what that family means.
Right.
And that's a cliche to where I come from in the South, you know what I mean? And I can tell you every black church I went to, all of my friend's house, you know what I mean? I can't front. That's how it felt. Now, in some homes, it was just like mine. It was violent on the inside as it was on the outside, just
right.
like it was in white homes that I went into,
mm-hmm.
you know? But that's a cliche, you know? So when I talk about superpowers from each culture, you know, that's what I mean, is maybe slowly we're developing to where maybe 1,000 years from now, we'll be a love species for real. You know what I mean? Maybe
right.
after we get enough Asian flavor, enough Irish flavor, enough German flavor, as long as we get enough fucking every Hindu flavor, as long as we can mix it all up somehow perfectly in 1,000 years, that we maybe start to create this strain of human that has maybe the right pigmentation and the right feeling in their minds and hearts too, man. Maybe, you know,
mm-hmm.
maybe, or do we just build walls and say, no, we're white, we're black, we're this culture, we're this religion. So unless you're this, stay the fuck out and respect my freedom to do so. Or do we drop the walls of race and culture and everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Power Ranger our cultures together to one super thing, you know?
Yeah, like, I hear you.
Because we so good. I mean, that for me is kind of the beauty of America, right? That I can walk through all these different cultural towns and different cities and experience all these different cultural foods and music, right? That's the cool part, right? Is that you travel to different cultures. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if we let that go, do we lose that too? You know what I mean? So I'm just supposed to say, no, we're all just human. Are we going to lose the cool things that each culture brings? Their different flavor of music, their different style of dance, of love, of fucking, of food, of right? Are we going to lose all that?
You said a lot you right know? There within 3 seconds.
Maybe that's why music is getting shitty, because it's just all the same, you know? So I don't know where to go, bro, you know?
No, you absolutely said it right. And again, it is...
Or does it get better because it infuses all of those things together, like we talked about, the Super Power Ranger version, right?
Right. I mean, it can, and we've seen it happen, that it did get better. But at the same time, here it is, which I believe, going back to politics, going back to that infrastructure, and going back to that you know, undertone and spirit of division and all these things, is that many people know that there's a stamp of black culture everywhere. Like you said, it's in music, it's in style, it's in fashion, it's in dress, it's in down to cooking. It's whatever the case may be, because we've had our stamp in so many things. And again, going back to me doing research and just doing just history homework for myself, that think about it like this. In commercials now, there's probably about 85-90% of black music that's being played in a commercial now. We've seen it. Car commercials, I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
Kia Soul,
yeah.
Basketball, football,
yeah.
Whatever. It's there.
Well, you even see that shitty ass they try to use some street language or whatever, and you see it cross over on some one of the whitest shows you could ever see, you know, and they say something like, drop it like it's hot,
exactly.
Right? Did I date myself back to No Limit Soldier and the shit? You know what I mean? But
that's my point.
Right.
And again, I stress that because, look, our hands are in everything. So to deny a culture and a group of people who have made this influence on other cultures would be injustice to do so.
You know, I'm glad that you also brought the Oscars and music, because it's funny, the more we talk here, and I, in my head, trying to line up the chessboard to see who are the pieces, what's the arsenal that's attacking, whether it's racism or nationalism, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's funny is the biggest burning spear that I see is music and movie. I don't know what else is attacking or can attack, either bringing the awareness to it, bringing the movements to it,
mm-hmm.
you know, the videos and social media, I would say.
Right.
Social media, music, and movies are like the tip of the spear,
right.
of the burning spear. That's about the only thing, really, that's fighting this notion. You know, I don't know what else you would use, groups and communities, right? You know, but when I see like the main weapon, you know, our main weapon really is that, because music has crossed over and cross-cultured since the beginning. You know what I mean? That has done it. And food too. I think food too. Yeah,
food too, as well.
Yeah, food. But
those are the main things that are resources. Those are tools from every classification to culture groups. You name it, we have all come together under those three things: food, music, dance.
Maybe that's where we start. Maybe instead of pointing out our roots or our history or our cultures or whose is better, what if we just say, hey, look, this is the music we brought to the table. This is the music, right? What if we just start there with the music and the love? And I think that's it. I think if we can learn, maybe that's where we have to start, is A, we got to learn to have the uncomfortable conversations like you and I have. You know, we've dropped some racist shit and said some controversial shit, and not one of us tried to hurt the other one or was offended or cried and ran out the room on a microaggression.
Right.
You know, I think to push through the conversations perhaps is the only way that we can bring awareness to even the individual that we talked about. They may not even know that they have these racial bias that have been passed down from generation to generation.
Correct.
You know, and I mean, if that's the start, then that's the start. I mean, I don't know, I have almost felt naturally my culture falling off, becoming less and less important. And that's what I wanted to bring you on to talk about. You know, we hadn't talked in a while. And I knew we would go off.
Right.
And but I do. I feel almost as if the more I shed my supposed to culture, almost the lighter I get.
Mm-hmm.
And the less offended I become, the less offensive, the less angry I've been.
Right.
You know, wait till Thanksgiving comes around and I start, you know, got to make all the memes about how, well, let's celebrate Columbus Day. Let's celebrate a murderer and a thing. Right. But even then, if I can put that down, I kind of can move past it. Like we even said, is moving past the history, moving past the story,
mm-hmm.
and maybe starting a new story, you know, and I don't know, man.
No, it makes sense. And again, I think that is a beautiful thing. You know, that's some of the resources that I've always.
But it's sad, too.
Pulled to was...
I mean, I'm tattooed native, you know what I mean? So it starts to become sad, though, to where you're like, I don't mean to lose my culture, but I'm kind of naturally just going, it's become more stress than it's worth. It's making me angry, right?
Right.
So it's sad, and, you know, and I don't know.
Well, I will say this, you know, there's always been art, food, music, dance. You know, those resources have always pulled different, again, classes and cultures together in a harmonious unison, right? But what else has happened that will make a group of people upset, like the black culture? And I need to touch this as well, too. And I've seen this throughout history books, is that when there's something great that's happened, or there's a discovery that's happened or it's taken place, or a historical black figure did this accomplishment, but they don't get the recognition for it because someone stole their idea. Mm-hmm. Intellectual property being stolen. And that's the main core of what's been happening and where this tension has come from. So it's not just the police brutality and the injustice, but we're talking like over, again, 400, 500 years of oppression, but also not being recognized for the accomplishments that we have done, but then also the ideals and the intellectual property that has been stolen from many historical black figures has become an issue as well. And again, let me touch on this topic too, because you had just said it. Ranye has always been Ranye. Okay. Even when I was coming here to Florida, I didn't know nothing about the N-word or anything like that. Someone pointed out to me that I was supposedly this one day when I was in school. So my mother tells me the story of how I came to her and I said, what is this word? What does this mean? Again, I'm just being me. I know who I am and I'm comfortable in my own skin, but obviously someone thought of something different, right? So again, I believe it is a reality check. It is a heart check towards ourselves, because you have to have that light bulb go off, that awareness that just pop up and say, you know what? Why am I calling this person this? And most of the time, people don't even know why they're using that word and don't know the definition behind it. So I didn't know nothing about that. I've been ridiculed on a lot of things. They say that, oh, you act too wide, or you're acting like an Uncle Tom, and why you talk proper and all this stuff. Like, it's called being educated. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I've seen a big push and change in that, too, that expectation in her generation. More and more that their generation is, they separate that. What you see now is you may see some racist interpretation of a culture, right? And then the response from the actual black person being made fun of is, hi, nice to meet you. You know what I mean? When the person will walk up, like, hey, man, what's going on? What's going on, cuz? How you doing? You know what I mean? They'll come up like this, and then the person is, it's good to meet you, man. And you're totally left field. And you see that in a younger generation changing, you know. And I'm telling you, her generation gives me a lot of hope for this world, man. And it scares a lot of other people. You know, if you watch Facebook long enough and the kids are beating up kids and teachers and, right, it can be scary, you know, and there's generations that are. But I would tell them, a lot of parents out there, kind of relax a little bit. I think the generation really has something. I know they're smarter than us. Right. I know they love more than we do each other and don't see a lot of things, you know, up front. And I think music's, and think about it, when are we the most into music, really? You know, when we're kids, right? We're into our shit. We know the dramas behind this rapper, behind this band.
Right, of course.
So think about it. The kids are so wrapped up in the music and the love of it and the movies and this, the culture of it, the high school culture of it, that race doesn't even become a thing. It's just whatever, you know? And it's, but only until the social constructs of the home, the communities that you find yourself in as you get older, do those concrete racisms, separations, you know, begin to take place. And it's like the further we get away from music and movies, it's like the less tolerable we become of one another.
Right. I think everything starts in the home. And I've heard this before many, many times. Everything starts within the home. You have two parents that, well, nowadays it's just one. But those that are blessed and be able to have two parents within the same household, they should have guidance, they should have direction, they should have instruction, proper instruction, and then giving examples of those instructions to saying, you know what, nothing is wrong with you, you're awesome. I'm going to tell you why you're awesome, et cetera, ABC, and move forward. But now, since you're dealing with, I'll say about 75%, maybe 80% of broken homes, within those broken homes, because of broken infrastructure, that broken infrastructure is being influenced on that child, he or she. And then because what they're witnessing on the daily basis, not to mention when they get outside of the four walls of their home, now that influence is coming from their peers. It may be right and it may be wrong. According to who? It's whatever. But they're getting guidance from somewhere else, right? And that's what happens. So when they get guidance from somewhere else, they're not gonna listen to their parents at home.
They get the love and acceptance they're looking for.
Exactly. And that's the thing that they look for the most, especially when you're dealing with young adults, preteens, adolescents, is that they're looking for those two things, love and guidance. Love and guidance. And if you're not there to instruct them properly and tell them, you can do this because of this, if you don't give them those proper instructions, they're not going to make it. And they're not going to identify or know who they truly are within themselves and saying that I can do this. Okay. So I think home plays a huge factor into our community. It doesn't matter what community it is. It can be black, it can be white, it can be Spanish or whatever. I've seen all of it, and all of it is relatable. I've been to many different homes, and I see the same thing that goes on in their home has happened in my home and how the way that I was raised. So we can relate, and I can recognize the situation. But a lot of people recognize the situation, but they don't want to do anything about it. Just like back to Hollywood. They recognize the situation, but they don't want to do anything about it either. Same thing with music. They recognize the situation, but they don't want to do anything about it. And same thing with art. Recognize the situation, but they don't do anything about it.
That's a good point. You know what? That's a good place to take us out on, because, you know, I think the director was Cameron, the big guy. You know, what's his name? Whatever Cameron. Okay. He was what's his first name? Fucking Avatar guy. I mean,
oh, I know you're talking about.
Oh my god,
what's his name?
My Danny's trip. My Danny, my agent Danny. He's probably tripping out right now in the movie business. Come on, guys, help me out.
I can't think of it. It's
this
like,
is crazy.
You got to pull it up, man.
I'm going to.
You got to. It's a must.
But Avatar director. It's the first name I can't get. Everybody's tripping out right now. We're yelling at the damn James Cameron. Thank you. Good
James
God.
Cameron.
Ding, ding, ding. Right. I ran out of time. But I think it was him. I'd have to double check. But that's a powerful dude in Hollywood now. And he's the guy that said, hey, if the people would watch the movies, I'll make the movie with that guy, you know, or that girl who meets the actual historical requirements of that person. Mm-hmm. And, but you're right, though. You said, everybody says it, but they don't do anything. And James Cameron, if it was him, sorry if it's not, and or any other director, they're powerful enough to where they could go, you know what, I just won't make it then.
Right.
How about that? You know what I mean? Or I'll force in this genre or that genre. And truthfully, they're making what the money wants to see, and that's scary to me. The scariest part about the Oscar stuff to me is that we may notice it, or some agree and some don't, you know, but the fact is... The scariest part is that the majority, like James Cameron said, are buying the movies or want them the other way,
right,
which scares me and points to your 90% majority of racists, as opposed to maybe someone else saying 20 or 30%, or the media even portrays it as these small bands that are very tiny,
right,
you know, and as compared to the whole population.
Mm-hmm.
When you say 90% racist on all levels, you know, and I wanted to say 60, you know, after we include 60 to 75, mm-hmm. you know, let's just say, and somebody's less than, I mean, somewhere between there is still scary that we still live in a place, bruh, that is that divided, you know?
Right.
Like,
and again, it's all based on the thought process.
Isn't it?
It really is. It, again, I repeat,
taught
this,
in the home.
It's taught in the home, and it is a head and heart check. It really is. Because if you don't check your heart and if you don't check your head, you are the reflection of what your heart is telling you. It's like a mirror. And I have a saying to that. I said that your head your thoughts and your heart are the reflection of each other, right? So whatever you really want to say to that person, your heart is speaking because of that situation. And yeah, maybe some of it is stemmed from condition of the home or from the home, whoever taught you. So that means that the old chip that you have in your brain right now needs to be thrown out. And you need to put a new chip in your brain.
And they could probably start by watching this short video film that you did, right?
Yes.
Like that segue?
Yes, I do.
You like that segue?
Absolutely, because I am addressing a lot of stuff.
Put that out there. Put your Facebooks. Put it all out there, man. Do your PR rundown, man. I got to get out of here. It's getting late, man. So
cool.
I got to shut down. So put your PR out there, where to find you, what you're doing, the whole nine. You know we're going to do this again anyway. But
definitely. For those that are listening and watching, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. My name is Ronye Hawkins, writer, director, content creator for Paint With Words Incorporated. And I actually just finished directing my own video, this video project called Keep On Fighting. You can definitely check the trailer right now. It's on my YouTube channel, Ryan Hawkins. Check it out. Send me some comments. Send me some feedback. Keep it positive, people. I greatly appreciate it. Keep the love flowing. But we are going to have a video release party next month around April. You're invited to come. I'll bring you. Come on over. Come and check us out. You can always check me out. I am underscore R-O-N-Y-A-I on Instagram, Ryan Hawkins on Twitter, Ryan Hawkins on Facebook. Please check me out on my website as well, ronyai.com.
You know how I remember that from now on? I've known you for 12 years, and I always said I-A at the end.
Really?
And ever since the day you looked at me and said, Adam, just remember Allen Iverson. And every time you said that, now when I spell your name, I go, R-O-N-Y-A-I, Allen Iverson. I say your name, and I say... You have programmed behavior in my ass to now you and Allen Iverson are forever. Does that make me racist?
That is awesome. No, that is called repetition, my friend. Repetition.
Yeah.
But no, please check me out, man. Come and support. Show your love. Matter of fact, I had just did my feature at the Just Us art exhibition. So shout out to my boy Trey Harris over at City Arts Factory. Great response, man.
Yeah, put some love out there. Anybody you want to shout out, shout them out.
Trey Harris, man. My girls, RG. We got Nikki. We got my boys, DeJuan Cole, Mari Lambright, Jose Velez. Everybody who worked with me on the project. Brian Smith. You know, all my Orlando family. I appreciate y'all. Thank you for the love and the support. Gigi, love you. Thank you for being a part of the project as well. And let me tell you, y'all. This is something that took me 6 months to create. And through that 6 month process, it helped me to understand who I am, not just as a content creator and an artist and now a director and a script writer, but as a human being. And going through that process made me a stronger individual. Trust me, you're going to like it. You're going to love it. It's almost like a documentary music video-ish type stuff. But the trailer is out now. Please check it out. But the full content video, the full edition of it will be out next month in April. Once again.
Cool, man. All right, man. Appreciate it, man. If you're tuning in, we're going to post this podcast probably tomorrow sometime or whatnot. But, yeah, if you got offended, good. Maybe you learned something. Maybe you didn't. Maybe I offended you. Let's say, I don't think any people were harmed in the making of this podcast. There were specific beliefs by yours truly and Ronye Hawkins. And you know what? They're just beliefs, questions, thoughts, ideas. I don't know. You just got to wonder if you sparked something in you. It did, if it did. But I think the bottom line, we came here. It's all about love, man.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, bringing it back to love and respect, man.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I hope you're loving you. I hope you're respecting you. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your cognitive rampage.